win!
Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
15-10-5, touchdown!
Way back! Might be out of here!
The Beat on 720 WGN. Just a beat.
So excited to be with you. Happy Saturday, 309. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz.
Hola, que tal?
Bienito, senor.
Look at you. I didn't know you were by.
Estudio en el colegio para tres semestres, Harry.
Oh, yo estudio en español en la escuela para dos años.
Para dos años in high school?
Yes, in high school.
In high school, right. Dan, have you studied Spanish? That's what we're talking about, just in case anybody doesn't know.
Un poco.
Un poco, just a little?
Sí.
So you never actually took a semester of Spanish classes? Or you didn't pay attention.
Not in Universidad.
Not
just
in
high escuela.
Long thrown out of Universidad.
Yeah, you had to have good grades to get into Spanish/language class at Highland Park High School. I unfortunately did not have those grades, Harry. So I was forced to study it at the University of Iowa. And I enjoyed my time in Spanish class, and I wish I would have focused more.
How was life as a Highland Park Giant?
It was... some good, some bad. Love to go back and do it again and do it better. How's that? It doesn't work that way, right? You only get to do it once?
Only in the movies.
Right. Hey, welcome to The Beat. We're with you till 7. A lot going on in the sports world. We are going to have a very emotional conversation, Chicago and New York, at 4 o'clock today. The Bulls, the Knicks, who has it worse? It's pretty, pretty tight. It's pretty close. We're going to have four passionate fans, two from Chicago, two from New York. That's all on the show at 4. As you know, I don't know if you remember former Chicago Bull. I'm sure you do. Charles Oakley, who was traded for Bill Cartwright and then was with the Knicks for 10 years. And then this week bought a ticket to go to Madison Square Garden and ended up on the floor in the tunnel, dragged out by security.
Yeah, and he blames the owner, James Dolan.
As he should.
I think Knicks fans in general should blame James Dolan. I'll look forward to that conversation. Came back to the Bulls. Remember when Krause had the plan to have the Twin Towers here? And,
yep.
You know, Tyson and Eddie came in the same draft. And Oak came back like as a mentor.
Unfortunately, Oak was like 90 at that point, and he was still better than Eddie Curry.
I think a lot. You know, I mean, I think about Charles Oakley, even though he was a longtime Knick. I'm a big fan of Charles Oakley. I think of him as a Bull and how hard he worked for the Bulls. He gave his all to the organization. I'm a big fan of the Oak Tree.
Jerry Krause's first ever draft pick. Do you remember who he traded to get Oak? How he flipped picks with the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I was thinking of Scottie Pippen with Seattle.
That was the next year.
That was Olden Colonies.
Actually, that was 2 years. That was 2 years after that. The
right.
Next year, he picked Brad Sellers. Great pick.
Hey, if it weren't for Brad Sellers, who would have inbounded the ball to Jordan for the shot?
Anyone, but good point. So, yes, it was Keith Lee.
Keith Lee from Memphis.
Just so we tie
what
that one up.
What a great college player.
Yeah. So, I think we should start with... the team that is on this station that played last night, and it has been a week. The Minnesota Wild, they had the Blackhawks number, not after Wednesday. The Winnipeg Jets, they had the Blackhawks number, not after last night, baby. And now the Blackhawks in action tonight versus Edmonton. We're creeping closer to playoff time, Harry. And I don't know what you were doing last night at about 1:30 in the morning, but I was on my couch watching Blackhawks Winnipeg getting ready for the show and really loving what was going on. Brent Seabrook was all over the ice like a madman.
Oh, yeah, and Seabs did great on the penalty kill because the penalty was on Hjalmarsson. The Hawks, after a little trouble in San Jose, they went to Arizona, won, Dallas won, Mini won, Winnipeg won. Like you mentioned, the Wild had owned them. They had won 8 straight regular season games, and Winnipeg had beaten them all 4 times this year. But the Blackhawks played so big, and you got to love the fact that the Hawks returned to this offensive power, and it's not at all... if you notice, there's one guy who has suddenly become a scoring force again, and it's not at all a fluke that it would happen at the same time the Hawks have this resurgence, and that's the captain.
Yeah, the captain has been looking like the captain, which is really cool.
He's been so great. He's been scoring goals. He's been, the assisting. The play he made Wednesday night to set up Nick Schmaltz's goal was spectacular.
Absolutely. And if you look...
That was such a good game. That was like a playoff hockey game up in Minnesota. That's going to be a good series this year.
I thought last night was, too. I mean, you get it to... In the first period, it's so much action going on. The Hawks end up leading 1-0 at the end of it, and then Hjalmarsson is on with Eddie Olczyk at the intermission, and he's talking about, we really want this game. They've had our number. We want to win it. It just didn't feel like your standard regular season game. A lot of want on the Hawks right now.
Well, can you imagine?
Long season. I mean, they always have the desire, but it's a long season. There's always an ebb and flow. And right now, there seems to be a different level of intention on the ice.
Can you imagine if the Hawks had lost all five games this year to a team that's out of the playoff race? That would have been brutal.
Well, but it all comes down to matchups, right? And that's why when you get into the playoffs, anything can happen because certain teams do match up better against others, and then that's why eight seeds do beat ones and that type of thing, or sevens and twos, whatever, however you want to break it down.
Yeah, you know, John and Troy were talking on the broadcast last night, and they'll have the Hawks and Oilers tonight from Edmonton after Judd's pregame at 8. They were talking last night about how much the Hawks want to go into Edmonton tonight and beat the Oilers because the last time they were in the building, they lost 5-0. One of the worst games all year that the Hawks have played. And Scotty Darling's supposed to be between the pipes tonight.
Well, and Darling's been great as of late, so that's exciting. I always root for the backups, Harry.
It's a Chicago thing. Who's the most popular guy in town during football season?
It's always the backup quarterback.
It's the backup quarterback.
Yep.
And, you know, there's something about, like, well, it doesn't matter that we have a bad record. It doesn't matter that we're not doing well because we've got a good backup.
Corey was phenomenal last night, though.
Corey's been phenomenal. Corey Crawford is terrific. And, you know, a lot of people were hard on Crawford for a long time. He's still the only guy to win multiple Stanley Cups for the Blackhawk organization. Corey Crawford's been playing great. The splits, he did the splits. He's so, for a big man, he is so athletic. He's like Plastic Man. He's like one of those action figures you had when you were a kid. You could twist him and turn him. You had those, didn't you?
In the Carmen family.
Yes.
Those things just didn't happen, Harry. I had a great childhood, but they did not involve things like that.
Never had like one stretch toy?
No, there were balls and there were tickets to games. And there was no stretch toys, there was no Legos, I might have had a truck. I consider that being raised the right way.
Was it Truck Robinson?
No, it was a nice red fiery truck that I would play in the old basement with. It was a wonderful time, Harry. Now you've taken me to a level that I never thought I'd get to again.
Well, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you very much. So I also want to mention, Harry,
mm-hmm.
that there's a lot of big stories this week in the sporting world. But I have advanced. I hate to make the show about me, but I have advanced to the semifinals of the East Bank Club tennis tournament.
Oh my God! How old was the guy this time that you beat?
He was younger than me, and it was shocking. But I know that people are very much paying attention to my tennis career as much as they're paying attention to the Blackhawks. So I didn't want to get through the first segment
without mentioning. Right. Well, yes. Why talk about Patrick Kane, passing Amonte for most goals by an American Blackhawk?
269.
Look at you.
Huh?
When we could talk about your big tennis minute. Now, how does it go again? It goes Wimbledon, U.S. Open, East Bank Club
That's
tournament.
Right. That's right. I got a semifinal match. Can I say his name? Is that legal?
Yeah, as long as you don't promote Trump's daughter's clothing line.
Okay, me and Robert Howard, we got the semis going on. I hear he's fantastic.
Robert Howard?
So if you know Robert Howard,
how are you going to beat Robert Howard?
I don't know. I need a scouting report. 312-981-7200. How do you attack Howard? What do you do? How do you take down Robert Howard?
In general, I don't trust men with two first names.
Mm-hmm. The dangerous thing, mm-hmm. that's legit scary.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Howard. That's who I got this week. 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. You going to be there?
6 a.m.?
Yeah, baby.
So what do you do? You just stay up?
No, you come on. You a pro like myself. You tuck yourself in before 10 o'clock. You get in. You get up.
Uh-huh.
You have a.
I'm gonna go to StubHub see what these puppies are selling. Well,
big
for right
money.
Now.
Big money. So you know you get in bed early. You get up. You get your little sugar high going. Maybe an orange and a banana. You're on that. Maybe one egg in there. Throw an egg in there for some duration. Next thing you know, you and Robert Howard are locking horns till 8 o'clock, and then you're on your way to work, Harry. Huh?
That's great. Have you ever played Dwight Howard in tennis?
No, I haven't played Dwight.
I'd like to see that match.
Rewinding it back, I just want to get one more Blackhawks thought out. We're going to have some Hawks talk for you later on the show. The chemistry between Panarin and Kane is just... It continues to grow.
Last year, and Anisimov's having an awesome season.
Right, he had a huge goal, and he capped off one of their plays last night with the loose change in front of the net, and then he also started.
I love it when you give me hockey terms.
Right,
say dangle,
and then
come on, say dangle.
Aren't you impressed? And then he kept the puck in the zone to start the first goal of the night.
Artem Anisimov was a great signing, and Stan Bowman signed him for a lengthy contract. And that's, you know, part of the reason now we're seeing so many of these young guys is because you add Anisimov. Half the Hawks roster gets $1 zillion, and the other half are guys that are young guys that really have never had a chance to play, that are unproven, that could be anything. And then there's a couple of, like, older, more experienced veterans that he's thrown into the mix. But, you know, Coach Q has been making it work, and this is great. You know, teams go on the road and one or two things happen. They bond, they move forward, they get a bunch of wins, or things go south, and it's nice. As one team loses to Phoenix, the second worst team in their league, it's nice that the Hawks have been rolling and beating teams like Dallas and beating teams like the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, it was a rough night for the Chicago Bulls last night. We'll get into them at 4 o'clock. All right, tonight, two of hockey's most exciting players face off on WGN TV. Who would those two be?
That would be Patrick Kane and Connor McDavid.
Very good. The Blackhawks and the Oilers tonight. At 9 on WGN-TV. Huge week for the Blackhawks. Not a huge week for someone else who's got a big, big game tomorrow, which includes a road trip. I'm going to invite Harry along. That's next, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Harmon with you till 7 o'clock tonight. 312-981-7200. You want to tweet at me, it's at TheCarm. If you friend me, I fall in love with you. And if you want to tweet Harry, at HeyTweetHarry. You love Twitter too, don't you, Harry?
I'm a big fan of Twitter. It's a great way to communicate. It's a great way to stay in touch with people.
Right.
And I've got a Twitter web poll question up now, which we'll get to in a little bit. But if you go to HeyTweetHarry, you can participate in a web poll question we'll be talking about later on The Beat on WGN Radio.
Yes, it's about 50 Shades and Lego Bartman, just to give you a little...
Lego Bartman?
Lego Batman. Did I say Bartman? Yeah. Lego Batman, right.
Boy, you're a Cubs fan.
Yes.
Yeah, which the question, of course, would be?
The question is, which is the better Valentine's Day movie, 50 Shades or Lego Batman?
Valentine's Date movie.
Valentine's Date movie.
Yes.
What did I say?
You said day.
I'm really off to a rolling start on this segment.
Rolling.
So, Harry, Tuesday night, we were together.
We were.
Dave Bennett was there.
He was. Man, he's really, that beard is coming in. Full of serious beard action going for Bennett.
Dave looks good.
He's Teen Wolf.
He's got a little Teen Wolf going on. He's got a little Fugitive going on.
Oh, nice.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah, a little Jimmy Kimmel.
Absolutely. So, the Wildcats of Northwestern, the team that is the most compelling story in town right now as far as doing something that hasn't been done, going to the NCAA tournament. They find out that one of their best players, Scotty Lindsey, is going to be out a while. That hurt. They lose a game to Purdue that they were never in. And then Illinois comes into Welsh Ryan Arena on Tuesday night and they beat the Cats in a game that Northwestern, if they wanted to make things easy on themselves or easier, they really needed to have. So now they got to go on the road tomorrow to Madison, 5:30 tip. We actually are going to do the show live from Madtown.
Oh, that'll be great. I'm so excited to do the show from there.
You are not going to be on tomorrow, but you are invited to come along.
I'd like to be in that Kohl Center. It looks gorgeous. Never been in that building.
Well, I'm going to leave at about 11:30 tomorrow, maybe 11. And if you want, I'll come by and pick you up, and we can go up to the Kohl Center, have some lunch, and perhaps we could get you on a segment or two.
I appreciate it. I'll be listening to you and Hoogie, and I'll be listening, of course, to Dave and at Joey Meyer with the broadcast. But it was very frustrating, the game Tuesday night, because Illinois, I can't remember ever seeing Illinois play in person and cheering against them. But that's what I was doing on Tuesday night. Northwestern lost to a team that hadn't won a road game in conference in over a year. All season they hadn't won a road game. And it was a game where Northwestern was stuck on 10 points for about 10 minutes in the first half. And they came back and had a tie at the half. Then late in the game, they opened up a three-point lead with about 3 minutes, 20 seconds to go and had the ball. You were feeling pretty good about it. There was a buzz, man. There was a buzz at Welsh Ryan.
There was.
There's something special happening in the air. And they were in the all-purples. They were wearing the road jerseys at home. I love it. And then Illinois just wanted it more. And, Northwestern played two guys basically the whole game.
Yeah, it was a lot of minutes for both Vic Law and Bryant McIntosh, no question about it. Northwestern has four games left at home.
Yeah.
Maryland.
Tuesday night. It's the only one that isn't sold out, folks.
The only game that's not sold out. And then Rutgers.
That's a win.
That's a week from today, next Saturday, 5:00 tip. Michigan.
Oh, are we doing the show from Welsh Ryan next Saturday?
I would love to.
Like, I would be invited next Saturday.
I'd love to do that. Perhaps that's possible. And then I'm just looking at what level of tickets are. There's limited seats available for Maryland, which, by the way, is a ranked team. Be a great game. Wednesday night, 6:00 tip. Come on out. Wildcat basketball. Do it. Do yourself a favor. Michigan on the first, and then Purdue, which is either going to be March 4 or March 5.
Oh, Purdue is good. I was watching them knock off Indiana Thursday night. Man, they're good. They've won best players in the country.
I think if they win three more games, they're okay. But it would be a lot more comfortable if they did better than that. So that would be 3 of 4 at home, and you're fine?
Yeah. Well, what about like a scenario where, they're playing Rutgers at home. Now, they could beat Maryland, okay?
They can beat every team here.
Or they could beat every team there. So I think Rutgers is a win, and I think Michigan is going to be a win. And they play at Illinois. And I know it's silly because Illinois just, came to Evanston and knocked them off. But, you beat Rutgers, you beat Michigan, and you beat Illinois. Those are your three wins. But you also have a scenario where you could only have two wins, but you knock off Purdue last day of the season, last weekend of the season. That's, I think that gets you in.
I hope so. I'm getting nervous. I'm legit nervous.
Well, you should be, but Northwest is one of only five college basketball teams that have never played in the NCAA. Never, ever. And this year they're going to get in. Every college game I watch, and I watch a lot, whoever's doing the game says, and Northwestern's going to be in.
Carrie, I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yes.
As you continue to talk, it's continuing to settle in with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need some emotional support, and I'm going to rely on you. You've been through the wars.
You needed support at Mustard's after the game.
We did go to Mustard's, and we did have – I love Colonel Mustard's.
Uh-huh.
I love the people there, except for one particular individual who was a little bit rough to you. Harry asked for a shake. He got a shake.
I asked for a chocolate shake. There's no chocolate. I've been going to Mustard since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Mustard's last stand, hot dog stand, right there on Central.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot.
Spitting distance of the football stadium and the basketball stadium.
You wanted more chocolate. You were denied.
Hey, if I want to be denied, I'll go home.
Oh, jeez. All right. Quick timeout. Coming on back as we move along here on the beat, 720 WGN. When we get after the 3:30 news, we're going to get into, have you gotten over it yet? You know what I'm talking about. And will you pay for it? Have you gotten over it? And will you pay for it? We'll explain coming up, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, good afternoon, 3:37. I'm Mark Carmen, he's Harry Tynowitz, Dan Long producing with you till 7:00. at the Carm on Twitter, at HeyTweetHarry. Text line 312-981-7200. About to talk. Are you over it, and will you pay for it? Don't think too deep, and this is a family show. A couple texts here, though, I want to read. Mm-hmm. Happy Valentine's Day, Carm and Harry. Will you be my Valentine, Carm? You handsome, sexy hunk of a man. From your radio sweetheart, Dolly. Absolutely, Dolly. I am in.
Oh, play one more from my radio sweetheart.
I mean, Dolly, you're the first person, the first beautiful woman to ask. You absolutely have been answered with an affirmative. I'm in.
My favorite Dolly is Dolly Madison. Love the zingers.
It's a nice treat. Although,
I'm not comparing them to Twinkies. I'm not comparing them to the hostess. You know, I'm just saying Dolly Madison, first thing you think of is the zinger.
You don't really like a Twinkie, though, do you? Like, that's a bad, bad treat.
Well, the Twinkie is, you know, not in my top five of hostess. Hostess cupcakes.
Nasty.
Hostess. Nasty?
Yep.
What is
everything
wrong with
from hostess is bad.
You are, what are you, high?
Not really. I think I would need to be to eat that. A Twinkie is disgusting.
All right, hold on. The hostess cupcake is awesome. With the white swirl going across that chocolate frosting. It's so good. The cake with the cream filling.
Always stale.
The ding dong. Love the ding dong.
Ding dong, average at best.
You're nuts.
Here's
something you cannot argue with.
Go ahead.
The crumb cake, the cinnamon cake. Decent. That is just so
you're
decent.
Right. That's the MVP.
Boy, you treat Hostess products. They're like they're women you date.
That's because has anyone ever bought a Hostess product in the last 10 years?
Dan Long, executive producer of The Beat.
Yes.
Thumbs up or thumbs down for Hostess products?
I have not had a Hostess product in, probably about 10 years.
Thank you.
But
what? I'll go to Walgreens right now.
Just kicking it back, I'd have to say Ho-Ho is top of the mountain for me.
Mm-hmm. That's Ho-Ho's are great.
I mean, it was great when you were a kid, Harry, because they didn't have anything better. But we have advanced, and Hostess has gone by the wayside. I hate to break it to you. Like, things that have stood the test of time, Hershey's, Snickers, M&M Peanut.
Sure.
All of that has stood the test of time.
Right.
Hostess
Marlene
products?
Wells. Promotions queen at WGN. She stood the test of time.
Okay. Absolutely. Marlene Wells. Absolutely. I don't know how you get the promotions queen at WGN into Hostess Cupcakes.
But, she's a hostess.
Okay. That's fine. People like the oatmeal cream pie on the text line. You probably like
what
that.
What about
too.
The fruit pie? The fruit pie, I remember it as being stronger. So I had a Hostess fruit pie like in the last 10 years, and it wasn't as I remembered it.
Yeah,
but yeah. I have purchased the cupcakes and the ding dongs recently.
No, you haven't, really.
Yes.
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
There's all these like
I'm in the grocery store, and there's a box on sale. Like, hello, I'm gonna take advantage of that.
Okay, fine. All
and
right.
My wife's like, just because it's on sale, you don't have to buy it.
Carm, you are crazy. Hostess is awesome, except the snowballs from the 847.
Snowballs! You know, at St. Patrick's Day, they make the green snowballs.
Hostess orange cupcakes and apple pies are the best, 815.
Okay, orange cupcakes. Again, solid text. That's a solid, solid text.
See, I don't know if people have been out and about nowadays, but if you go, like, literally every street corner, there is some new high-level donut shop that's
right,
coming up.
Which is awesome to pay $6 for a chocolate donut.
312, Hostess has gone by the wayside. Are you high? Best snack ever. Hostess cupcakes. Be ashamed. I'm just holding standard for this show. I don't mean to offend anyone, but Hostess, they had a great era. Like, they were great when the Brady Bunch was going along. That was a cool...
Oh, come on, that's 40 years ago.
Like when you were having a bologna sandwich on white and packing that up.
Why is it always going to be on white?
Because that's what it was back in the day. Bologna on white with cheese. That's what you took to school, didn't you? What was in the Harry Tynowitz brown bag when he went to what grammar school did you go to?
I went to Central
there
in Glencoe.
Yeah,
I went to Nutria. My sandwich that Mom packed for me was, my favorite was roast beef and ketchup.
No, come on.
Oh, so great. Rare roast beef and ketchup. I want one right now. And then my second favorite sandwich was like chicken roll. Like, you could buy it, you know, I'm not talking like chicken, I'm talking like the processed chicken roll with ketchup on one side and Miracle Whip on the other. Bill Left will tell you how good those guys are.
How does Bill Left get mentioned out of nowhere?
Because I brought him to when Bill and I used to when I was a regular at the Bill Left Bill and Terry Left Christmas shindig, I would bring Bill would make things like dolphin cookies, Miami dolphin cookies. And I would bring stuff like chicken roll sandwiches with ketchup on one side, Miracle Whip on the other.
What was the most nasty sandwich that you were packed for lunch that you loved back then that you would never eat now? I think for me it was cream cheese and jelly. Did you ever have the cream cheese and jelly sandwich?
Yes. Didn't you miss the Nova? Didn't you miss the Lox?
That was a whole nother animal. That was a Sunday morning extravaganza. Fred Carmen got that done. But Gladys Carmen would pack me a cream cheese and jelly. And that was something that I kind of liked, but pretty nasty overall. I would never, ever, ever consider doing that now.
Did you ever have the...
PB&J forever and always. We'll be eating it when, however long I live, I'm eating PB&J.
My little brother, I'm not a peanut butter guy, but my little brother, he used to eat peanut butter and fluff sandwiches.
Marshmallow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that what Elvis used to eat?
It's very clear right now, and it's a little bit uncomfortable for me, but I have huge judgments, huge judgments on what people eat.
You judge everything. You need to step back and just let people
Harry just went to a whole other level on me. I judge everything?
Well, I'm just saying.
I didn't judge that shirt that you're wearing.
What's the matter with this shirt?
It's just, I don't know. It's just, you can do better.
This is Air Payton.
Air Payton?
This is Walter Payton in the Michael Jordan Jumpman pose. Eh. JP gave me this shirt.
Did he really?
You cannot buy this in a store.
Now,
Holmes.
How come JP's giving you shirts and I'm not getting any shirts?
Because JP and I are real.
Apparently so.
We are tight.
No shirts for me.
Not with that attitude.
Well, now I have to buy his coffee too. I can't even get a K cup out of JP.
JP's the man.
JP is the man. All right.
He's now at stud, by the way.
He's now at what?
At stud. He's got a son. He's got a daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Very true. Okay. I love you, Harry, from the 773. Roast beef and ketchup on white bread. And chicken roll was the second best.
Yeah, well, chicken roll was... just try it. Before you knock it, try it. And again, the big key here is ketchup on one side, Miracle Whip on the other.
Why not real mayo?
Because I don't want to yak. Miracle Whip is a delight. Miracle Whip is so great. Why have real mayo when you could have Miracle Whip? It's like Moses led the Jews out of Egypt. Did he do it with like...
Yes, he did it with Hellman's. Bring out the Hellman's, bring out the best.
He did it with the Miracle Whip.
No. He was busting out some real, full...
Moses preferred Miracle Whip. If I teach you one thing today... Okay. Moses preferred Miracle
You're
Whip
sure, huh?
to Hellman's mayonnaise.
Did you talk to Moses? Yes. I don't think you did.
I never talked to Moses. He was a little ahead of me in school.
Yeah. All right. I don't think we got anywhere on this other than I'm getting a lot of texts in there that Hostess hater.
How do you hate the Air Payton shirt?
It's a little confusing. I don't know what's going on there.
Will you take a photo? We'll get Dan to take a picture of us.
Great.
And people can go thumbs up or thumbs down.
Fair enough. All right. We just got off track here. That's okay. That's beautiful. It's amazing. But we are getting back on track right now, Dan Long, after this quick timeout. Are you over it, and will you buy it? That is next.
Will you pay for it, you said.
And will you pay for it? Thank you. 6-3 all crunchy or creamy peanut butter either. But if I had to pick one, crunchy. I love peanut butter in all forms. Natural,
which kind?
Nasty.
What would you buy? Skippy?
I don't care. Jif.
Peter Pan?
Jif. Skippy. Upper level.
Level?
Yes. Upper level, like natural, organic, $10 jar of peanut butter. Love it.
Dig you, Mr. Important. It's a peanut butter freaking sandwich.
Right, but I like...
Skippy.
If you eat...
Jif. Peter Pan.
I said I'm down with...
When you buy bananas at the grocery store, do you buy the organic?
No, but I buy organic eggs. Now, that's a $3 premium for an organic egg. $3 premium.
I just want to egg someone's house on Halloween?
I want my chickens, even on Halloween, to be running around free and not to be caged in and living a terrible life. I want a nice, free, easygoing chicken that out of nowhere drops an egg. That's the egg that I want to eat.
Remember Michael Cage?
I do remember Michael Cage.
He was a Clipper.
Huge rebounding battle at the end of the season with, was it Oakley?
Look at you, yeah.
And like Cage grabbed 45 rebounds to top Oakley's 36. It all goes back to Charles Oakley. What's my tease next? Are you over it and will you pay for it? That's next, 720 WGN. All right, are you over it? I don't know what you did last Sunday. It was 28-3. This is the beat on 720 WGN. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. It was 28-3. I was having a peaceful, not that entertaining because it wasn't close, but I was having a peaceful Sunday enjoying the Falcons winning. And I know it seems like forever ago, but we haven't been on since, and I got to address it for a second. That was the worst collapse of any team that I've ever watched that I completely didn't care about that bothered me. How do you lose that game? How do you not run the football? How do you do that to America?
The next morning, Kyle Shanahan was officially named head coach of the 49ers because he's the best offensive mind in pro football.
How do you hire Kyle Shanahan? I would have immediately changed my opinion.
After the awesome Julio Jones catch, and that's redundant to say awesome Julio Jones catch. After that, they're on the 22-yard line. The 22-yard line of the New England Patriots. Run the ball three times, and you've got the Pro Bowl kicker to put you up 11 points with a field goal. If he should miss the kick for whatever reason, you're still killing the clock.
They had first and 10 at the Patriots 22 with under 5 minutes to go. You run it three times, you kick the field goal, the game is over. Instead, they end up out of field goal range, and they don't even kill a minute off the clock.
Ridiculous.
Okay, so I just... If anybody is still in pain over the Super Bowl, I'd like you to be in pain with us, 312-981-7200.
All game.
Did you feel the pain?
Oh, yeah. I'm not an Atlanta fan. You know, I had Devonta Freeman on my fantasy team, and I love what Devonta brought to the table this year. Way to go, Devonta. But, but...
Making Harry that money.
I think most of America was cheering against New England. Not really,
right.
You know, I mean, look, it's the nature of an American. I'll speak for all Americans. I think that we want to see people that haven't
cheated,
won a championship.
Cheated?
Right? That haven't cheated, that haven't won a championship. We want to see them win. Belichick's the greatest coach ever. Tom Brady might be the greatest quarterback ever, but they'd already won, Brady won
four.
Belichick, what did he win?
Five.
Six. I wanted Atlanta to win because they had never won one. And like championships in the city, the Celtics have like 70,000 championships. Bruins, the Red Sox now, they've got, World Series championships. Everybody was cheering for Atlanta except for the Wahlbergs.
Right.
And who left early, by the way.
That was sweet.
Mark
Wahlberg, if you missed that, huge Patriots fan. Video of him leaving the bowels of NRG Stadium. That was, by the way, great when Gaga jumped off of NRG. That was a highlight.
Hey, let me tell you something about Lady Gaga.
Love Gaga.
She was spectacular. She was so spectacular. It was the best part of the first 2 hours of the broadcast. That game, all day long, that game was Atlanta, and also it was the under.
Right. That's the other part, the gambling. 312-981-7200.
First part.
Good point. Gambling first, squares first, which is why, which is when I brought up the pain, that's why Jim called in, because he's still feeling the financial pain. What's up, Jim? You didn't make any money on the Super Bowl, huh?
No, if they kick the field goal, I win the squares. Even if New England scores and gets two, because I had two squares covered there.
So they kick the field goal, they go up 11, you're in the money, huh, Jim? How much dough are we talking?
Right, I had $1,000. I had 1-0, and I had 1-8.
Wait, $1,000?
And then they're going... Yeah, and then they're going backwards. Backwards instead of kicking the field goal.
And I don't understand. You know, I've lost square pools in the final seconds before because, like, you know, the team will throw an interception that gets returned for a pick six. But to lose it that way, it's logical.
The chip shot.
Well, but going back to what Mark Carmen was talking about, the strategy involved, it's late in the game, you're at their 22, you don't need any more yards. You need to kill the clock. New England still had two timeouts left, plus obviously the 2-minute warning. Run the football. They didn't do that.
And then when they tie it, they drop the first pass, which is about a 20-yarder, which would have given Atlanta a little momentum also.
Right. Well, it's only money. I mean, what do you do with $1,000?
Right. That's right, Jim. Yeah. Wouldn't have made a difference in your life.
Tip money for you guys in caps.
Oh, yeah.
Please. Please. Are you kidding?
You should see this paycheck, Jim.
Think of all the Hostess ding-dongs and cupcakes I could buy with $1,000.
That's a valid point. Jim, thank you for calling and sharing your pen. I hope you feel better.
Yeah.
All right. There goes Jim. Could have made a grand if they had just kicked the field goal.
How come whenever I'm winning the other side, you know, scores? And then when I'm losing, I never get the pick six.
I don't know, Harry, but I got to tell you this. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like I got to step in here. You know that he who gambles lives in shambles, don't you?
No, I found out the hard way.
Yeah, well, so.
I'm retired.
Are you retired?
Except from the racetrack. Because at the racetrack, you can't go up to the window and say, give me 1500 on the six. I'm good for it. You need the cash money, my man. You need the cash money.
That's how that works, right? Mm-hmm. You have to actually hand it over and hope that you get it back.
Yes, and boy, the racetrack is just a wonderful place. Just go to the track.
I used to go to the track in high school, and I didn't like it then, and I stopped going.
You haven't been to the track since high school?
Nope. I would go. I would love to go to Arlington because it's beautiful and I love the horses.
Arlington is gorgeous. I have fun going to Hawthorne Racecourse also.
I would love to go to Arlington or Hawthorne, whatever. I've been to Hawthorne I ran a 5K or something.
Arlington International, I've been to about 40 racetracks in America. And Arlington International is, you know, one of the most gorgeous tracks. I would say that Santa Anita is probably the most beautiful because it's up against the mountains in L.A.
Is that like the U.S. Open?
I've been to the U.S. Open.
Have you really?
Yes.
I'm getting emotional just thinking of just looking up off the 7 train in New York City on a Labor Day weekend, and there it is, the Mecca. I don't know how that just happened, but it happened. Mitch, you're feeling Super Bowl pain too? Go ahead, Mitch. Be quick.
All right. Real quick, the other guy was complaining about his lost square on the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I'm 50, I was at a party during the Buffalo-Dallas game, and if Leon Lett would have scored the touchdown, and that was like with like 10 seconds or like less than a minute to go in the quarter. And ironically, my best friend at the time had the other ticket, and he was in my face. And I grabbed him by the shirt while he was running. I'm going, Greg, that killed me.
Yeah,
I lost $150, but that wasn't the end of it. 20 years after that, he was still giving me crap.
Dude, I feel your pain. And for those of you that don't remember the play, Leon Lett was this huge defensive lineman who thought he had a touchdown, and he picked up the fumble, and he was running with the ball down the sideline, and he extended his arms, you know, like wings, and the ball got knocked out of his hands.
He was showboating, one of the great epic blunders in the history of the Super Bowl, maybe the biggest.
Played for Dallas, knocked out by Buffalo.
Right. Mitch, thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing. I hope you feel better. Hey, a quick timeout. Who has it worse, New York or Chicago? Unfortunately, we are in the same remote, disgusting mess of a puddle that seemingly will never get fixed. We're going to do that right after 4 o'clock. 720 WGN.
In the backcourt with Grant, Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move by Jordan! The Knicks have no one to thank but themselves.
This is an ego problem for Patrick Ewing. First of all, Jordan on the beautiful dismissal of the defense.
The Chicago Bulls with a couple of spectacular plays. Scottie Pippen stopping Charles Smith. And the Bulls won it. That last basket will count. The Bulls 97, the Knicks 94.
Barks has to kick it back out. Davis for the win. He's fouled on the play.
Yep, some of the great moments in Bulls-Knicks history right there. 720 WGN, I'm Mark Harmon, he's Harry Tynan. What's Harry, you're in pain right now.
You know, I was about to high-five executive producer Dan Long. What a strong open. What great memories, the Bulls-Knicks. And then he's got to play the Hubert Davis foul, which was not a foul. It was a horrible, horrible call, and it cost the Bulls. That was game 5, I believe.
Yeah.
And it cost the Bulls an opportunity to win that series and move on to the championship. Just terrible. Why would you include that, Dan?
I asked him to put it in there, Harry. It speaks to the entire rivalry. Okay, so we're going to have a discussion right now because I know Bulls fans are in pain because I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Knicks fans had maybe the worst week you can possibly have when one of your heroes, a guy that's beloved in New York City, a man who battled alongside Patrick Ewing and Anthony Mason and grinded and took on Alonzo Mourning and the Bulls and the whole thing, Charles Oakley gets dragged out of Madison Square Garden, not allowed back by a punk of an owner in James
for
Dolan.
For life. Banned for life.
Well, he said for now. He may be allowed back.
Banned for life for now?
Yeah, right, exactly. So, hey, I wanted to have a discussion here as to who actually has it worse right now, Bulls or Knicks fans, because it ain't pretty for the Bulls either. Lost last night to the worst team in the Western Conference by 80 gazillion points. What is the plan? There is no plan. And so we've got both sides represented today. Let me introduce the Bulls side first. Brian Beto, who has been on the station, worked in the station, the most passionate Bulls fan I know, watches every single game. You can follow him on Twitter, at Brian Beto. Brian, welcome to the program.
Guys, thanks for having me on. And Dan Long, I love that rejoin. And Harry's right. Hugh Hollins, rest in peace, but that's not a foul, sir.
Beto! Beto's bringing it.
Welcome, Brian Beto. Let's bring in Matt Verderam from the New York side of things. Matt Verderam working in Chicago right now at fansided.com, but he grew up bleeding the New York.
Blue and orange?
Yep, all day long. Loves John Starks, loves Pat Ewing. Matt Verderam, welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is going to be a very painful segment for all of us, but let's get it rolling.
Yep. Steve Gruthius is in the record books at Madison Square Garden, Harry. He was selected out of the crowd and shot on a 6-foot hoop when he was 13 years old. Made how many in a row did you make, Gru, at Madison Square?
I made 7 on a 7-foot hoop, not 6.
Oh, 7 on a 7-foot hoop. And what did you win for that?
I want a trip to Club Med.
A trip to Club
Med. What?
Yep, that happened for you. How old were you, Gru?
Well, they thought I was 9, but I was really 12.
Club Med.
Gru, I've known Gru since he was an assistant coach at St. Edward's University, Harry, and I was the play-by-play guy. Gru is one of the most passionate Knick fans of all time. He despises the Bulls. Really, really hates them.
I respect that. Sorry you're on the wrong side, but I respect it.
And then we go back into my history.
How many guys you got on this?
We got to have 2 on each side.
Okay.
I got to bring in Dave Frank, who we battled it out high school together. When the Bulls swept the Pistons, this man drove around downtown Highland Park in his big black Oldsmobile with a broom out the window celebrating the sweep. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Really enthralled by the debate, which team is worse.
Yeah, so here's the story, right? Who is worse right now? Harry, would you like, before we go to our
I'll go last. Let me hear the guest. Guests right. Go first.
All right. Let's start. Gru, we're going to start with you. What are your emotions? What are your thoughts right now? How do you feel about the New York Knicks, especially with the week that you just had with Charles Oakley getting dragged out of the arena?
Well, first of all, I agree with one of the other guests that that was not a foul on Hubert Davis, but you want to know it was a foul. The 18 times that Charles Smith was hacked right under the basket. So I think we're even. Anyway, back to the question at hand. Thank you. I will say, look, as much fun as I would like this to be, it's actually pretty upsetting watching Charles Oakley being carried out. As you said, this is it's very emotional. I'm emotionally invested in this team as it could be, and I really feel abandoned by my ownership, by Jim Dolan and the joke that is Phil Jackson. A lot of people thought Phil Jackson was a Knick. He's not a Knick. Okay, he's a Bull and he's a Laker. He is not a Knick. I feel abandoned. I really do. It's like, I wish there was I'm so glad you asked me to come on, because I wish there was an outlet, and just making a couple of tweets, just doesn't do it justice. Literally today, I was thinking in my room, as I was walking, I'm like, should I not be a Knick fan anymore? Should I not support the team? Can I really make that move? And I just don't think I can. It's upsetting, but I mean, this is troublesome, especially like you said, as beloved as Charles Oakley was, this guy was like a hero to me. I love this team. I love Oakley. And from a human interest point of view, to see someone being dragged the way he was, especially being a Knick, is as upsetting as it gets.
Let's bring in Brian Beto, who's a Bulls season ticket holder. I think former, right, Brian? You giving them up?
Oh, yeah, they're gone. They're long gone.
Yeah, long gone. Now, whenever I've ever said something bad about the Bulls, like Doug McDermott's terrible, mm-hmm. Beto will shout back at me on Twitter like, no, he's not. He's great. But all of a sudden this year it's just changed.
Throwing words in my mouth. Yeah. Throwing my words in my mouth. But, no, and you're right. I mean, we go back and forth. We had talked about being adopted Bucks fans on G-Chat not too long ago, but with Jabari going down,
that hurts.
I don't think that's going to be the case for us anymore. But this Bulls team is almost having me pine for the Charles Oakley Bulls teams. And I'm not talking about the early Jordan years, his first go-around. I'm talking about, like, the Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler, Marcus Fizer, because at least you knew how bad they were, and they were going to end up with a decent pick. They wore how bad they were on their sleeves. This team is so delusional to think that they're competitive that they actually have a chance that their soft rebuild is going to bring in some sort of monster free agent that's going to somehow put them on level with Cleveland and Golden State. But the stands are full every night. They're 100, or at least paid attendance wise, they're over like 103% to admission. So Jerry don't care. That's where we are.
So do you still watch the games?
Yes, I do miss some from time to time. Like, I'm not watching the Bulls at Golden State in Oakland on a Tuesday night when I have to get up for work at 6 a.m. and waste 2.5 hours of my life knowing that they're going to lose by 30. That's just not wise business there. But I still do watch, but I try to calm myself prior to every game because I know that there's no upside in watching. I'm relieved, and then they lose, and then I get angry. So this is about as bad as it's been.
Brian, but there's always, you know, especially at the beginning of a game, both teams start with nothing on the scoreboard. You know, that's the best time to watch. The Bulls aren't down by 30. The Bulls are tied with Golden State. Hey, man, the Bulls, are you watching this? The Bulls are tied. They haven't tipped off yet, but the Bulls are tied.
You're like in your college years right now. It's a beautiful thing that you
true.
Are.
I love it. I love the beginning of the game because they're not down yet. I don't have to see Nico chucking 30-footers.
He's having a rough year. He is having a rough year.
Let's bring in Matt Verderam, diehard Knick fan, loves Charles Oakley, loves Pat Ewing. Go ahead, Verderam. Let your thoughts be known.
Yeah, listen. First of all, you know, this is a sad, sad episode right now going on for both cities. But you know, the problem that, and Brian hit on it with the Bulls, and the same thing with the Knicks, is that everybody still goes to these games. The Knicks have sold out the Garden year after year, game after game. I have a buddy who has two tickets in the fourth row down on the floor, and he has over the years multiple times offered to give me the tickets for nothing, and I don't go because they're so pathetic. It's not even worth the train ride into the city.
Well, so, fourth row, you could be attacked by Garden security.
I wish I was. At least then I wouldn't have to watch the game. I think Oakley got off the best out of anybody. He got out of it. You know what? You know, over the last 15 years as a Knicks fan, the turning point of the game has been the same every single game of 15 years straight. It's been the national anthem because the game is over the second they're done singing. It's been a disgrace. And the problem with the Knicks, unlike most bad teams, they're terrible. Then they get a draft pick in the top five or six and so on and so forth, like the Bulls eventually had, even though it was a miracle with Derrick Rose, who now is, of course, the Knicks' problem. But, you know, the Knicks for years, it was always like, we don't even have our draft picks because Isaiah Thomas was busy trading five first-round picks for Stephon Marbury. And so it just on and on it went. You know, you talked about the Marcus Fizer years with Chicago. We also had the Eddie Curry years and then tacked on with the Michael Doliak years and the Jerome James years and the Jared Jeffries years. As a Knicks fan, you look at ownership and say, as long as James Dolan is alive, they have no chance. I mean, realistically, the only way that team could ever get good is if it just lucks into a couple of incredible picks to go along with Porzingis, who, by the way, is going to be gone the second he can be gone, because why would you stay there?
Let's bring in David Frank, who was raised.
Turning point was the national anthem. I love that.
That was a tremendous summation. David Frank was raised by Gene Frank. And if you don't know who Gene Frank is, Dave's dad, he's the biggest Bulls fan on the planet. The man's been scouting the team since, I don't know, Chet Walker before that. I mean,
Chet the Jet.
I mean, it's a
Bradley
long
guy.
Right? Get the Braves out there. There you go, Beto. So, Dave, I talked to you earlier today. You completely lacked passion. You didn't believe in this segment. There's some real pain out there. Step in now and give us your thoughts as a team that you once held near and dear to your heart. And I know you had season tickets, and I know you don't have them anymore.
Well, let me be unmistakably clear. Charles Smith was blocked twice. Charles Smith wants to go with that weak cheddar to the hoop. I mean, that's what's going to happen against the first three-peat.
I'm with you.
So am I.
That being said, both franchises are in abysmal shape. I have to say, though, that the Bulls are in a little bit better shape. My opinion is, you know, the top player in each team, Butler for the Bulls and Porzingis for the Knicks. I mean, Butler's better. Porzingis just gave up 40 to some guy on Denver. Am I mistaken? I mean, I don't think Porzingis knows how to play defense if it hit him in the face. But to make a long story short, the Knicks have Derrick Rose. And when you have Derrick Rose, you cannot stop losing. You will lose and lose and lose and lose and lose because there is not a man in the NBA who cares less about winning than Derrick Rose.
Well, hold on. Let me stop you because this speaks to your pain, because you hated Derrick Rose so much that he ruined the Bulls for you. You stopped rooting for the team when he was on the Bulls. Is that accurate?
I would say it's very accurate. I thought he was the antithesis of what Michael Jordan was.
Oh, good word. But just on the simple question of who's got it worse now, Knicks fans or Bulls fans? Because that's not, you know, you can't really bring D. Rose into that, you know, answer. Who's got it worse now?
I think it's the Knicks for sure. I think, you know, Melo's definitely older. What is he, 30 what now? How old is he, 34?
32.
Plays no defense, hogs the ball, doesn't know how to pass it. Porzingis is obviously a talent, but he can't play any defense. I mean, who else do the Knicks have? I mean, they've got Joakim Noah. He's completely broken down. They've got Derrick Rose, again, biggest loser in the NBA, in my opinion. I just don't see anything that the Knicks have. Now, I mean, I think the Knicks are doing the right thing. I would force Melo out, too. I would also try to get a high pick. I hope the Bulls do the same thing. I hope the Bulls trade Butler, trade Wade, and get anything they can. I was a fan when we brought in Wade. I thought that was a big winning move. I thought Butler needed to be around a winner, and I think I overrated Rajon Rondo. I had no idea that he really is just not that great of a player anymore, and he's just not as quick as he used to be, and his shot has just never improved. I'm a big proponent for both teams. I think they both have to completely blow it up. I think the Knicks will blow it up. I think Anthony's gone for sure, and it's just a question of what the Bulls are going to do.
So, Dave, if I may say it, I think is still living in a little bit of a delusional land. And to the last point that you made, though, that's why I personally feel that the Knicks are actually in a better spot, because they are ready to move on, and they do have the best young talent on either team in Porzingis, whereas Jimmy has 2 years left after this season, and then he's got an option, and then you have to pay him. So the Bulls, I don't know what they're going to do there. I actually think the Knicks are in a better spot. Steve, we got to wrap it up here, so you got like about 10 seconds. Your thoughts real quick. Worst situation, your Knicks or the Bulls?
Well, this is one argument I'm happy to lose, and that the Bulls are much worse off than the Knicks. Not because you guys, first of all, thank you, Mark. You totally rejuvenated my hatred for the Bulls with this phone call. Okay, number one. Number two, it's not just management that's screwing up the Bulls. It's the players. There's so much infighting going on, right? The Knicks, at least it's concentrated in one area, and that's ownership. And I couldn't agree more that as long as James Dolan is the owner, and this is why it's so upsetting, that we have no chance. We have no chance. And who? And I'll end with this point. Despite the fact that I believe the Bulls are much better off, much worse off than we are, what kind of owner gets rid of Donnie Walsh?
It's a good point. Right? It's a good one.
That's it. That's
good,
it right there. Dolan's
good,
a trump card.
Good job, Gru.
Because
Dolan.
I hate the Knicks. And I mean, I hate Nick Nolte. I hate Nick Jonas. I hate Swaggy P. but you know, my heart goes out to Knicks fans because this is a franchise that it's better for the NBA when the Knicks are great. It's better when they're competitive. I like them as the antagonist to our Bulls. And they have been a disaster since James Dolan took over. And the people that want to rip Reinsdorf are just...
You know, we're going to have that conversation.
Okay, well, let's have it. Because James Dolan is exhibit A for how an owner can set back a franchise a quarter of a century, especially when you combine him with Isaiah Thomas, who killed the Knicks and he killed the CBA.
Matt Verderam, you got 13 seconds. Go ahead as your final thoughts.
Like I said earlier, until Dolan leaves, it's over. He owns the Garden, so he's not going anywhere. The Knicks right now have literally gotten me to the point where I almost don't care. I'll always care because they're just built inside of me, but at the end of the day, you look at them and just say, what hope is there? There is no chance that team ever becomes competitive for a championship under James Dolan, and it's a shame because they used to be a great franchise.
Thank you, Matt Verderam. I feel your pain. Beto, your final 10 seconds. Do you have any faith left?
No, they're both total train wrecks. Nobody wins in this scenario. I'm going with emotion here, though, and if I go to a tiebreaker between who has it worse, at least the Bulls can still hold on to the dynasty years, and even though that was 20 years ago now. And as someone that takes November 2nd, 2016, as the night the Cubs won the World Series, as that's like the cure to everything. So as bad as they are, I will go to bed every night being like, you know what? Cubs won the World Series. Who really cares that Rondo called out his team on Instagram and all that stuff? So I think that I slightly lean Knicks on who's worth off in this just terrific debate that we have this afternoon.
My perspective is Rondo defended his team. All four of these guys were great. My perspective is Rondo defended his team on Instagram.
I would say that too. Dave, thank you very much for your time today and your passion. And we hope that you set forth in the United Center next season. I know you haven't been there this year.
Well, when we keep everybody on hold, we'll do Bears and Jets fans.
Thank you, Dave.
And thanks for having us on.
Appreciate everybody doing this. All right, I feel like we got somewhere.
That was awesome, Mark.
I feel better.
That was awesome. You want a cigarette now?
Yeah, let's step on out. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Harmon. Dan Long producing. 439 with you till 7 tonight. Thanks to our panel as we debated who has it worse, New York or Chicago, from a basketball standpoint. We're both in the abyss of basketball nauseation. Those are words. You wanted to have a Reinsdorf versus James Dolan conversation. Let me get to that in 1 second here, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Jerry is a very loyal guy and people who are in Jerry's circle love him. I get all that. We'll do that in 1 second here. Just some reaction to the Bulls-Knicks. 847, Dolan is a troll. I agree. Also on that same 847, truth is the Bulls are mediocre other than the Jordan era. The Knicks haven't won since Willis Reed.
Which is true.
Which exactly. That is spot on, which gets me into Reinsdorf in a second here. And then people talking about actually watching the product. 847. Spot on. Until we stop watching this bad entertainment, there will be no incentive to get better. This is ridiculous loyalty. Players and coaches don't have loyalty. Why do fans? It's entertainment. Why would I watch a bad movie over and over? And it is interesting that somehow, some way, the United Center stays full. Bulls games, I don't know if it's Benny the Bull, I don't know if it's the Love of Bulls, I don't know if it's the Dunkin' Donuts race, and I love going to Bulls games because I love the NBA. But I feel like I'm kind of in a diehard corner that wouldn't support 21,000 every night. I'd go to every Bulls game. I'd go preseason, I'd go regular, I would go watch basketball.
Playoffs?
Sure, of course. I'd go watch basketball in a park, I'd watch sixth graders play. I love the sport. I'm thinking about going to DePaul on Monday night when they play Villanova. And I love
the spread on that 30?
78. But you know, but that's me. Like, I don't get how tickets are not cheap, parking is not cheap, food. If you know, don't have the time in your day to plan properly and you got to eat there, not cheap, yet huge crowds.
Mark, in 98, Michael Jordan and the Bulls, Scottie Pippen, they won their sixth title. And then the following season, the 98-99 season, there was no Phil Jackson. The roster was, you know, just so scarce of talent. And yet the Bulls led the league in attendance. This is a fan base that wants to go to games, and maybe it's because they remember the glory years. But I think for people that diss Jerry Reinsdorf, you have to understand his commitment. And I know things are not good right now. I'm not happy with where they are right now. They're at best, you know, right now, seventh seed. And they're going to go out to Boston probably in the first round. But you compare James Dolan to Jerry Reinsdorf, there is no comparison. Reinsdorf's won seven championships for the city. Reinsdorf understands the history of his team. Reinsdorf knows what's going on with the league. And James Dolan is sort of like obsessed with what's happening with his team. And he keeps, you know, just reaching for whatever is the quick fix. And Donnie Walsh made the Pacers awesome. And he doesn't even realize what he has in Donnie Walsh.
Right. But here, James Dolan, I am not a fan. I think he should be kicked out of the league for what's going on with his team.
Well, Adam Silver, you've been challenged.
However, he did just go out and spend $12 million a year to bring in Phil Jackson. Now, that's not working.
Did not bring him in as a head coach, though.
I get it, but he wasn't willing to be a head coach. He was willing to run the team. Hiring arguably the greatest coach of all time to run your team, that's a significant commitment. And the Knicks spend a ton of money. The Bulls, on the other hand, they spent a lot of money in the Jordan years, but when they had Kyle Korver, when they had Omer Asik, when they had a team that was super close, they made a lot of trades to stay out of the luxury tax because Jerry didn't want to pay it. And that was a team that was on the cusp of winning it all. And I'm not saying they would have, but they certainly didn't help their chances by not paying those guys. And the other thing is, yeah, he's won seven titles, but all I heard, and I even watched one of the Bulls' celebrations from, I think it was from 92 or from 91, I watched him in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And one of Jerry's first comments, Reinsdorf, he didn't mention anyone except for Jerry Krause and how Jerry put this team together. He just wanted to give his guy so much love. And all I heard during those years were organizations win championships. I heard it so many times, I can still throw up from it. And the fact of the matter is that since Michael left, they've been to the Eastern Conference Finals once, mm-hmm. and they've won one game. So, and then what has he done with the White Sox? I mean, let's be honest about it. He's had them for 35 years. They've won one World Series, and I'm sorry, it's great they won it. Fantastic year, 2005. It was a fluke. That team wasn't like built like the Cubs were built.
Well, that was a fluke they won? That's one of the best pitching staffs in the history of baseball. Starting rotation in the history of baseball.
But they caught fire at the right time. They were not. They didn't.
They were in first place all year.
Oh, right, but they nearly blew the lead in September. They didn't sustain.
Cleveland got tight, but Sox went wire to wire.
Okay, fine. Take out the fluke, Harry. That's fine. You can take out the fluke if you want. Mm-hmm. Although they didn't sustain any winning. They didn't go to the playoffs the next season. And they've.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, but fine. They got one World Series in 35 years. Is that good? I mean, how could that even be considered? How could you stand him up there and be like, he's a great owner? He hasn't been a great owner for the White Sox.
Well,
that's just not true. They've been competitive more so than the Cubs over the years, but they've won one World Series in 35 years, and he's done absolutely nothing, and in general been a huge embarrassment without Michael. Those are the facts.
I don't think embarrassment is the right word. And
No.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm talking a lot. But let me.
No.
You had a fist fight with Vinny Del Negro.
That was brutal.
Okay. Same thing with Scott Skiles. Tom Thibodeau, the way he left the organization was a disgrace. There's always infighting within his organizations for whatever reason. To me, it's embarrassing.
To your point, there have been several key White Sox players that have said bad things when they leave.
Chris Sale is cutting up his jersey.
Carlton Fisk was released on the road, and he was not allowed into the clubhouse in Cleveland when he tried to come back. But Fisk, who said negative things, is back with the Sox. Frank, who said negative things, back with the Sox.
Horace Grant is back with the Bulls.
Scottie Pippen signed a contract that Jerry Reinsdorf told him not to sign. And because of his back injury, Reinsdorf looked out for him and took care of him. Jay Williams could have had his contract voided because he wasn't supposed to be on a motorcycle when he had his terrible accident. Jerry Reinsdorf paid him anyways. He is an owner that is incredibly loyal to his players. He is an owner that is incredibly loyal to his front office. And he's also been one of the great owners in the history of sports for giving minorities opportunity.
That's great. Okay. I mean, making Ozzie a manager, that's incredibly cool. Bill Curry was a head coach.
I hate it when the Bulls play down to the level of their opponent, okay? I did not need to see, you know, my friend who's a gambler in San Diego called me up last night. He goes, can I lay the three? I go, yeah, the Bulls are going to kill him. And the Bulls got, you know, down 13 at the half, and then they got blown out.
Phoenix played really well last night.
I'm not at all, right. And they got two young studs on that team. Yeah. I'm not at all happy with the situation the Bulls were in. The Tom Thibodeau thing.
Yeah.
Okay, who would you rather have coaching the Bulls tomorrow, Thibodeau or Hoiberg? Thibs.
By a mile.
By a mile. I'd rather have Thibodeau coaching the Bulls.
Bulls are playing the Timberwolves tomorrow night in Minnesota. That's why Terry just said that. Go on.
Yeah, I believe it's 2:30.
Tomorrow afternoon. I'm sorry.
But that's okay. I had the Hawks a half hour premature. I was premature again. Hawks pregame at 8:30 tonight on WGN Radio. Game is at 9. I think that when you say that Jerry Reinsdorf has only won one World Series, you're forgetting that they went to the playoffs a lot. For a team that, you know,
he's also only been to one World Series.
Right, right. But they
been to one, won one.
Okay, but
is that good?
Well, it's 1,000%. No, it's not good that they've won only one World Series. But in a city that hadn't won a World Series,
so
for a city that hadn't won a World Series for what 88 years, he won a World Series.
But that's irrelevant. Okay, it's totally irrelevant.
They went to playoff series and lost. So that they've been to the playoffs. And I think he has, you know, built good teams with Kenny Williams. It's very frustrating that at a time when their division isn't especially great, that they haven't been more lately. You know, they had the blackout game with Ken Griffey Jr. throwing the guy out.
It's a great game.
Great game. But I think that's like their only playoff series since the World Series, right?
Is that right?
And
2008.
They actually won
a playoff game the year the Cubs were supposed to win the World Series and got swept.
There's a lot of. I'm not denying the frustration, and I'm not denying the current state of the Bulls, but all I'm saying is he has been a success. I believe he was very influential in the Bud Selig era as commissioner of baseball. He is not afraid. He did not vote for the current commissioner. He was one of the few owners that did not vote for him. He has been I think Reinsdorf has been incredibly loyal, and he has done a lot to win championships. And they have paid luxury tax.
Very rarely, but yes.
They have paid it.
312-981-7200. If it was your call and your call alone, and you could say, Jerry, I want him to continue to own the teams or be forced to sell them. I mean, what would you pick? 312-981-7200. I'll be stunned if somebody's going to call up and say that I want Jerry to keep either of the teams. If you actually could make that move with Jerry or without Jerry, I don't think there's anybody in the city that would choose to have Jerry owning the teams. I really don't. And that's maybe sounds disrespectful, but I think that's where they're at. I mean, Casey Johnson puts out the piece this week, which was a phenomenal
great
job.
Piece.
I mean, fantastic. Always on top of it. Casey doing great work in the Trib, talking about how neither Gar Forman nor John Paxson are going anywhere. And those guys have an approval rating of about 3%.
It's like Trump.
I mean, yeah, except that they're not gonna win they're not winning the election. I mean, these guys, they're just in a secure corner for whatever reason. There's no accountability. We're gonna fire Tibbs. We're gonna have a nationwide search for our head coach. Even though, yeah, by the way, Fred Hoiberg sold me his house, and we all know that Fred Hoiberg's getting hired.
The Tibbs thing. The, I was frustrated A by the firing and B the length of the comment. Usually, when a coach is fired, there's like a one paragraph statement. And Reinsdorf, you could tell he was extremely upset. because I mean it was a lengthy statement when Tom Thibodeau left.
Yeah, well, they didn't like Tom.
But I mean, what I'm saying, I mean,
even though Tom was great for that organization,
it's not easy to win championships. He's taken the team to the playoffs. You know, he's taken the White Sox to the playoffs. You know, several times. You know, and he has been incredibly 100% involved with his team. You know, I just think that you know, to say, oh, he's only won one World Series, so he's a bad owner of the White Sox, isn't fair.
I mean, the numbers are the numbers. I'm good or bad.
You can only do so much. You can't control winning the World Series.
You can't control it, sure, but how do you run your organization? All right, wait, we got to take a quick time out. We'll get to your calls right after a 2-minute break. 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. 312 texting in. Make the Bulls great again. Hire Trump.
Really?
Well, he's got the red hat. There it is. Hey, we had a little Bulls Knicks. Who has the worst lot discussion? And then somehow we got into James Dolan and Jerry Reinsdorf. Here's an idea for Jerry, by the way. Good little public maneuver right now. Bring back Charles Oakley. He's banned.
Ooh.
He's banned from Madison Square Garden. The guy never wanted to be traded originally. I get that the trade worked out and Bill Cartwright helped you win three titles, the first three. But Oak never wanted to leave. Oak's beloved here. Bring him back. Put him in the front row. Just troll New York. I think that'd be a sweet move. 312-981-7200. Jeff, you want to talk about Jerry Reinsdorf? It says on the board here that Jerry's good for his employees and bad for the fans. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon. That's my point. Is that it sounds like, you know, just being an average fan, that, you know, I don't have any inside information, but from what I read and hear is that Jerry is a great guy to work for. He takes care of his people. You know, there's a lot of stories that we probably don't know about him helping out people that are down on their luck. And God bless him, more power to him. But, you know, as a fan, you know, do you really care about what goes on in the front office and what goes on behind the scenes?
No, I don't.
I want a championship. I want the Bulls to be a champion. And, you know, and another thing that we haven't mentioned is...
Good points, Jeff. Thanks.
Thank you for the call, Jeff. The Bulls got very lucky to get Derrick Rose.
They did. Extremely lucky. Would they have a 4.2% chance, whatever it was?
Right, and they won the first pick in the NBA draft lottery, and he was a rookie of the year. He would, in his third year, become an MVP.
Youngest ever.
And, you know, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals with him. So one of the, you know, best things that's happened to this franchise, and people want to rip, you know, when Derek says, you know, I'm gonna take a couple games off because I don't want to be limping at my kid's graduation. That's, you know, this is the work hard city in America. This is work hard, play hard. It's a city that gives its all, and anybody that's been in Chicago understands that. But, you know, so there's a bitter aftertaste to Derrick Rose, but he was a phenomenal player before he started getting hurt.
Yeah, if you want to go full pain Bulls fan look, Google or YouTube Derrick Rose before he got hurt and watch those highlights.
Lightning. He was lightning on the court.
I watched him like 2 weeks ago, and it's like, oh, my God, I forgot how good he was. It's Derrick Rose or Russell Westbrook. That video's out there as well. And you watch it, and you almost would pick Derrick Rose. I mean, just ridiculous stuff.
And speaking of Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple-Double, did you see what Draymond – I know you did. Draymond Green last night?
Yeah, he got a triple-double scoring 4 points because he got 10 steals, which has never been done before in the history of the league.
It's unbelievable. I mean, that is incredible that you could get, you know, rebounds, assists, and steals for your triple-double and score 4 points.
He got his last steal, too, with like 3 minutes to go on a
He just took it away from the guy.
Yeah. There's a huge game tonight, Golden State and Oklahoma City. Kevin Durant coming back to OKC. We might touch on that before we get out of here. Coming up after 5 o'clock, though, Chris Cook of your Chicago Tribune. He's covering the Blackhawks. Blackhawks at Edmonton tonight. So we'll talk a little Blackhawks hockey next. Do you feel better about that conversation? I don't even know if I do. I'll
feel better. I'll feel better when the Bulls, you know, start winning games they're supposed to win. They beat good teams in this league. They knock off the Thunder. They knock off, you know, the Clippers. They knock off the Cavs. And they can't beat the bad teams in the league. Dallas beat them by 30 points. Dallas beat them twice this year.
A lot of good home games coming up, too, for those people thinking about not going to games. There's some good ones. A lot of good teams coming in. Toronto's coming in. Golden State's coming in. All right, 720 WGN.
It's knocked away by Crawford and Marian Hossa. Long shot from the Hawks. Oh, he scores! Marian Hossa with an empty net goal. And the Blackhawks now lead the Jets 4-1. And for Marian Hossa, his goal is also the Hawks' first shorthanded goal on the season.
In our end, obviously, no, Corey stood on his head tonight. You know, but I think overall we're improving defensively, which is a good sign. I think we're getting better in that department.
4 in a row, Blackhawks getting it done on the road, beating Winnipeg last night. Chris Cook loves Canada. He was there, living the dream. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Welcome to 720 WGN 509 with you till 7 o'clock tonight when Amy Guth takes over. Chris Cook, welcome back to the show, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So the Blackhawks they hadn't beaten Winnipeg, Chris. So they decided, well, we'll just go and beat Winnipeg. They hadn't beat Minnesota, so they decided that, hey, it's time to beat the Wild. Are we starting to believe, or should we believe, that when they get in the playoffs, they'll be able to turn it on and do what they're doing this week, and perhaps this team could get that fourth Stanley Cup, or am I getting ahead of myself here?
Well, you're always ahead of yourself a little bit, I think this team is looking for ways to motivate itself. I wrote that in today's paper.
Yep.
And I think they looked at that losing streak against the Wild and said, hey, we need to play hard here. And they were able to do that. Same thing against the Jets. They hadn't beaten them. You don't want to go 1-5 against the team. So they got up for that. They're looking for an edge. They'll use tonight's game as, well, this is the last one before this bye week, so we're going to get up for that. And, you know, here's a team that is kind of in the dog days of the season. We've seen this before where the Blackhawks kind of go on cruise control, especially, I mean, they're in the playoffs. They're not going to miss the playoffs. And their only hope right now is to catch the Wild in the Central. And sure, they want to do that, but if they don't, you know, it's not the end of the world. So they're finding ways to motivate themselves, but you're seeing a team now, I think, that is coming together a little bit. Those rookies that we've talked about all season long are really starting to gel a little bit with the veterans. Corey Crawford's coming back to where he was before he had the appendicitis, and I think that they're just kind of playing at that level where they need to be, where they can reel off 4, 5, 6 wins in a row here. And Joe Quenneville kind of said last night, just kind of a throwaway, that this is kind of a make or break for the season as far as finishing first in the Central. And I think a while they're going to be looking back now saying, hey, here come the Blackhawks. What can we do here? But if you're talking about the Stanley Cup, you know, look what's happening in the Western Conference. Are the Minnesota Wild, is that the team that the Blackhawks think are going to – that's the team to beat in the West? Because if they do, they think they can do that. So I don't see a reason why the Hawks, if they don't come together a little bit more, maybe make a deal at the deadline, can't be that team that's there at the end.
Hey, Chris, it's been too long. You know, it's not gone unnoticed that with this resurgence by the Blackhawks has come the resurgence of Jonathan Toews. Do you have a reason for why the captain has been so often on the scoring sheet lately?
Well, I think he was tired. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how he played a lot of minutes. He would never really admit to it that, you know, during the regular season that he's not doing too well as far as physically. But I think that maybe he changed his regimen a little bit. I think he's back in the weight room a little bit more. He's working the legs. And you saw against Minnesota, he really had as good a jump as he's had in, I think, in months. You know, he's also in the situation where he's got this revolving door left wing on the top line. And, you know, he's been playing with these rookies, and Joe Quenneville's inserting guys in there. It's not easy, you know. I mean, you're Jonathan Toews, but you need some line mates to have some consistency there. And I think he hasn't had that. So Quenneville's had the last 4 or 5 games now. He's had a set top line, and you're looking at Jonathan Toews having a bit of a resurgence. But I just think that Jonathan's taking the puck to the net. He's holding onto the puck more in the corners, which he was uncharacteristically was giving up quite a bit. I guess they hit a bit of a lull there. And, you know, we kept writing, well, this is Jonathan Toews is going to come out of it. And I think he's come out of it.
Well, so you mentioned being tired. This is the first year, correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris, that there's an actual basically a bye week. The Blackhawks getting five days off here. What are the players saying about this? Because from what I'm hearing, some like it, some don't. They like the rhythm of the season, but they want the rest. It's a new thing, and people are used to, you know, creatures of habit, the whole deal.
Yeah, I'm actually writing that as we speak for tomorrow. I think this group as a whole, they're a veteran group. They know how to kind of get back into a rhythm once they get out of it. So I think that they're looking forward to this just because they've played a ton of hockey. A lot of the teams already had their bye week, and the Blackhawks have played, I believe, the most games in the NHL. So this is a veteran team. They're going to go. Some of them are going to reach the beach. I talked to Nicholas Jarmelson. He's going to stay in Chicago. His wife is expecting. Patrick Kane wouldn't reveal where he was going, although he did say that he'll probably bring some sunscreen. So I think that a lot of these guys are going to get away. It's a group that can come together fairly quickly. I think they're embracing it. But there are some guys, you know, Marian Hossa was saying, well, I'm going pretty well right now. You know, I don't know if I really want to give that up. But I just think that the 4 or 5 days off they're going to have here is overall going to be very good for them. And it's really going to balance out the standings again a little bit. It's been very odd looking at the standings, trying to figure out where teams are because some teams had this bye week, other teams haven't. I think once everybody's through it, you're going to see what the real standings look like.
Sunscreen. So I'm guessing Kaner's just going to stay in Edmonton then.
Likely. It's not bad here today.
You know, you mentioned the rookies. You know, all the juggling that Q has done. Nicholas Jalmerson, you know, talking about today in your column how they're challenging themselves and stuff. And, you know, the other day it was Vinny Hinostroza talking about how the two games he sat helped him so much. After scoring a pair of goals in Colorado, Q decided to start, rather to rest Vinny Hinostroza for two games. You know, how well do you think Q has been handling all this mass of young players?
I think he's done pretty well. I think Vinny would tell you that he would always want to be in the lineup. He was probably saying the right thing so that Joel doesn't get angry at him. But, and it wasn't really a rest. That's when Joel sits the rookie down. That means he's not really happy with what he's doing there. But, you know, the thing about this group is I do think they're coming together. And, you know, I've been saying all season, I think they got to get a veteran. And if you look at it, once April rolls around, they'll have a full season under their belt. Right now you're kind of seeing some of these guys separate a little bit. I think Ryan Hartman's been just a revelation for the Blackhawks. When he started the season, I really thought at best he's going to be a fourth-line player. But he's really got a quick shot. He protects his teammates. He goes in the corners, and he's got a scoring touch. So I think he's been very good. You know, you got guys like Tanner Carroll. They need to come around, and Hinostroza's got, you know, speed that kills. I think that that's going to be key in the playoffs because some teams will be worn down, and he can use that. But it's just this really, it's just this top line. If they can just figure out which guy is going to fit in there, I think they'll be okay. Then you can have that all-rookie fourth line. You can try to get away with that because once the playoffs roll around, he'll roll, you know, one or two or three lines, maybe some of the fourth line. Same thing on defense. We always talk about the depth there. You know, once it comes down to the nitty-gritty down in playoff series, Joel just goes with, you know, top two pairings, basically. So I think this is a group that's coming together a little bit. I like this rookie group. Some are a little bit ahead of the other ones, but if it's me, I look at Hartman as a guy who's really going to be able to do something in the playoffs.
You'll find Chris Cook writing Blackhawks. He's immersed on the front page of the Tribune Sports section right now. He's hanging on the beat with Mark Kerman, Harry Tanowitz on WGN Radio. You know, the Blackhawks have three of the top 100 players currently on their roster of all time. They've got all these young guys, but as a fan, I'm really appreciating the season that Richard Panik is having. You watch this team. What do you think about the way Panik's played this year?
I think he's been very good. I mean, he started off just really well. I guess he came out of the gate like gangbusters and really looked like he was going to have a stupendous season. I think he's been very solid. You know, he's been more physical than I thought he had been previously in the NHL. I think that's what the Blackhawks need. They don't have a lot of guys who go in the corner and bang, and they will do that. So I think that that's an element that he's brought. And he's got a bit of a scoring touch as well. So he's kind of a streaky player, which is fine as long as you can turn around the playoffs a little bit. But I think if he stays physical and he can stay in that top line with Jonathan Toews, he's going to have a good rest of the season. He's a guy that, you know, Stan Bowman brought in kind of cheap, and he's really playing a big role right now. I think that if you're going to go look at somebody at the trade line, it's get a guy like that again. Get a veteran who's kind of not found his way with his current team. Come to the Blackhawks. He doesn't need to be the main guy. He doesn't have all the pressure on him. You can go ahead and just play alongside Toews and do his own thing. I think Panik's been that guy. He's been very solid for the Blackhawks all season long.
So you don't believe Bowman necessarily when he says that don't expect a move?
I don't think I believe him. I mean, Stan doesn't go around lying, but I do think that once it comes down to it, it's just me. If I'm Joel Quenneville and I look at all those rookies in the playoff time, you know, playoff hockey is a different animal. And I think he's going to want a veteran to play up top on the top six if they can get it. I do think Stan Bowman's going to go get somebody. I don't think he's shopping. I know he doesn't want to give up one of these young players in that deal. He doesn't want to give up a young defenseman either. And if you look at it, they're probably not going to want to give up their number one draft pick because the Blackhawks are hosting the draft next year. And I can't imagine John McDonough's thinking, well, yeah, we won't draft in the first round on that first day. Let everybody else do it. So there's some factors in play here that Stan Bowman's got to deal with. But in my opinion, I think he does go out and get himself maybe an expiring contract, a veteran who can try to slide in and maybe catch some lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, Edzo last night on the broadcast was saying that he expects a concern for Eddie was the amount of depth or lack of depth that the Blackhawks have. and how in a long playoff series that could turn out to be a big factor. So I guess, Chris, it sounds like you're with Edzo on this, and I think the back line is fine, but up front, no.
I would agree. You can always use another defenseman, but no, to me, it's a top six guys if you can get them. We're not talking about a 40-50 goal scorer, but you're talking about a guy who can come in and play alongside Taves, a guy who's been through some battles, a guy who's playing out his contract, so maybe get a good deal on him. I just think that you're going to want another veteran present up top there. It's fine when you throw out Tanner Caro now. It's fine when he just throws us out there and Hartman and guys like that. But to me, you're going to want a veteran once the playoffs roll around. And that pushes some of those rookies down. As I was right, it pushes some of those guys down to the third and fourth line or even sitting occasionally. You want to get some more depth up there.
It's like I always say, you can never have enough Van Riemsdyks on your roster.
Van Riemsdyk had a big play last night.
There's two of them in the NHL, so maybe they can go get another one.
Yeah, maybe they get James here. Scotty Darling should be between the pipes tonight. The task at hand is for the Hawks to be as strong as possible and make a bid for their fourth Stanley Cup championship. But is there any way that Darling is back on this team next year with the money Crawford's making?
I don't think so. No, I think Scott Darling believes he's ready to be a number one goaltender. He's kind of sold me on being a number one goaltender.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that last year. I thought he was just a very capable backup. But this guy comes in, he sits down for 2-3 weeks at a time, and he comes in, and he's just sharp from puck drop. And then when Corey Crawford was down, he was in there, he was very solid. It's been a terrific story. He's from Lamont. He joins the team that he rooted for as a kid. He's been a great backup, and he goes in the Minnesota Wild Series a couple of years ago, and he almost wins that series for him. He doesn't want to be a backup anymore. None of these goaltenders want to sit there and say, yeah, I'm fine being a backup. I'm playing for the Blackhawks. He's a guy who I believe teams are going to target in free agency, and I think that even possibly the Las Vegas expansion team might want to take a shot at him. So I don't think he comes back next year. I don't think it's anything against the Blackhawks, but when you've got Corey Crawford in there, arguably one of the top five goaltenders in the NHL, you're not going to have a job for Scott Darling if he wants to be a backup. He doesn't. He wants to be a number one guy, and more power to him. I think he's proven himself that he can do that, and I think teams want him.
That's going to be a tough cover for you, going to Vegas.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it, though, Ari. Well, that's, when you give us a hard time for that, I'll remind you that I was just up in Winnipeg and Edmonton in February.
So I want to ask you about that, Chris. If you were taught, for people who love to travel and aren't afraid of the cold and perhaps are willing to go wintertime bargain to Canada, what city should they go to?
Well, I mean, it's not as harsh as other ones, but I love Vancouver. Vancouver is a terrific city if you can ever get up there, which is beautiful. I spent a lot of time up there at the Olympics and many Blackhawks playoff series. I mean, just with the mountains and Stanley Park, and it's a beautiful downtown area. It's terrific. Toronto's a huge city. It's one of the world's largest cities now. It's very nice. Montreal, I really, really love Montreal. It's like stepping back into Europe at times and kind of old Europe. As far as Winnipeg and Edmonton and Calgary, if you don't need to come up here, I don't think you need to come up here. So there's some nice things about it, but there are other places in Canada I'd rather be in.
I think you just sold me on Montreal. I want a little trip to Montreal.
Montreal, yeah. Montreal, beautiful city.
I've heard Vancouver is the most beautiful city in the league.
It really is. It's one of my favorite cities. Occasionally when you're traveling, you get somewhere and you just stop and you think, well, I could live here. And that's one of the 2-3 cities in my entire life that I've been to where I thought, I could move here. I could live in this town. It's just terrific. It's gorgeous. The people are nice. The weather's pretty terrific. It's not in a frozen tundra up there. It's very Seattle-like. When it snows 2 or 3 or 4 inches, they freak out there. So it's not always under snow. It's just a great city. I love Vancouver.
You just don't want to be there if they lose a Game 7 at home.
Well, yeah, a little tough luck if they lose in Game 7. But, I think it was a black mark on that city, which I don't think it deserved. I don't know what happened there that night. But I found the people to be great. I found the town to be great. It's just so far away. It's like, because you can't zip in for a weekend. You got to make some time to carve out some time to explore it, and it's just a long flight, 4.5 hours from Chicago.
Wrigley Field had a bad night, Game 6, 2003. These things happen.
That's true.
Hey, Chris, for people that haven't had the pleasure, 97 on Edmonton is awfully damn good, tied for the league lead in scoring. What do you see in your crystal ball for Connor McDavid of the Oilers?
I think he's going to win the Hart Trophy. I really do. He's that good. I mean, he's a guy who – watch him skate. It's glorious to watch him skate. He's just so fast, and his hockey skills and his vision are, you're talking about a guy with vision like Patrick Kane, a guy who can skate, as well as Duncan Keith. I mean, combine those two things, he's just a terrific hockey player, and they love him at Edmonton. I've been on this beat for a long time, and I follow the Blackhawks for a long time. I get a kick out of watching top players kind of emerging. So I'm looking forward to watching Connor McDavid. He's one of the rising stars in the league. He's actually right there. He's already arrived. I mean, this is a guy who is among the best players in the NHL. and he's just going to get better. I mean, he's, what is he, 21 or 22 years old? This is a guy who's got to hit his prime yet. So keep an eye on him. Watch how he skates. Watch how he enters the zone with the puck. It's something special to watch, and I think everybody should appreciate that.
Chris Cook, at Chris Cook on Twitter, KUC. Chris, how Chris is spelled. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
can we I don't know what that means, but I think everybody knows what that means.
Chris Christopherson is offended.
The most versatile guy in Chicago beat writing history. You've covered the Hawks, you've covered the Bulls, you've done baseball. I mean, you want to just promote how much better you are than everybody? Go ahead.
Well, you're doing a fine job of it, and I'll send a bottle of wine that you told me you needed for that. No, it's fun. I like, you know, I cover the Blackhawks for, what, 9 solid seasons, but I've been doing a lot of different things. I've been on some Bears. I was on the Cubs for their run,
yep,
the championship, and, you know, nothing will ever top that. I saw 3 Stanley Cups, and they were terrific, and, you know, and I've covered a couple of Olympics, but that Game 7 in Cleveland, I can't imagine ever covering anything that intense, and that's just kind of fun being there. It really was something for my career after being in for this long to really get a charge of. And those are the types of things, those type of stories I seek out. And I really enjoyed myself there. So I like the variety. I've been on the Bulls a bit. I even like covering the Bulls. It's not a bad group of guys, and there's always a story there. You know, so there's always something to write about with those guys. So yeah, it's been a fun time.
Sometimes there's too many stories. Now, I don't want to tell the people the Tribune. I don't want to tell your bosses, you know, how to run things. But if I'm them, I have you covering Lady Gaga's concert at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I thought she was great during the Super Bowl. I mean, she can sing. I'm there. I'm all over that. She's probably a pretty good interview, too.
Chris, appreciate the time.
Critiquing your music, I'm not sure about that, though.
You can do it.
I'm a Rolling Stones kind of guy.
Just say you love it. It's good.
I love the Stones, but Gaga's pretty damn good musically, too.
Gaga's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. She can sing.
All right, Chris.
I want to go listen to Some Girls.
We'll read you after the game tonight online and in the paper tomorrow, the Hawks and Edmonton. Thanks for jumping on, as always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
I expect at least one Rolling Stones reference in your story tomorrow, Chris.
I'll work one in.
Awesome.
Sure.
Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune. All right, quick timeout. Blackhawks at Edmonton tonight. Our pregame at 8:30 right here on 720 WGN. WGN. Amy Guth coming up at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yay!
Talking about the executive order travel ban. It's 7 o'clock tonight. I'm looking at the date on there. It's February the 11th. That means that Valentine's Day is Tuesday?
Tuesday, my man.
Oof.
How many different candy hearts are you sending?
Always tough for the single man. The old Valentine's Day. The old... Oof, I'm alone again.
Oh, come on.
I'm on the road to nowhere.
Okay, great talking head song.
Thank you.
Are you going to get yourself a heart-shaped pizza and just come home and watch sports?
Yep. I'm going to eat my feelings and just mow Lou Malnati's heart-shaped for like 3 hours and fall asleep.
I get that. I so get that. By the way, weren't we going to have Lou Malnati's today? Weren't we going to have it last week in studio?
When did that ever even get proposed?
Dan Long, weren't we going to have Lou Mal's in studio?
You know what? It did come up over the course of the show last week, and I totally that's partly on me too because I totally forgot.
Please,
if you remind me before the show, we'll have Lou Malnati's.
Okay.
If you don't remind me before the show, you can't complain about it. That's.
I'm not complaining. I'm just asking the question. I'm thrilled, happy to be here.
Sounded like a complaint to me.
Well, I think that's just because I'm Jewish.
I don't know what that means. Okay. Let us pray. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. I don't know if you guys know what else is starting this week, but the Chicago media is headed southwest. They're about to descend. Some of them already have. I'm seeing videos of Kyle Schwarber taking batting practice.
Oh.
Seeing pictures of John Jay taking BP, both getting there early. So spring training is basically here. Pitchers and catchers reporting coming up here. And it's on, man.
Both teams.
There is another team in town, that's true. But let's be real. The White Sox are not trying to win this season. The Cubs are trying to go back-to-back.
The Cubs are defending the World Series title.
The Cubs are defending the World Series. So I know that most Cub fans, myself included here, we've moved past the something terrible is coming around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to blow a lead in the ninth. We're going to blow a lead in August. We're going to blow a lead in September. It's going to rain when we're up 5-1 in the fourth inning with two outs to go before it's an official game.
Hey, the rain helps the Cubs, believe me.
It sure did that last year. So most of us have moved past that, but for just one second here on 720 WGN, I'd like to step back in time and welcome phone calls at 312-981-7200. What could possibly go wrong in their defense of the 2016 title? Because I actually think that they're on their way to a three-peat. But if I step into negative land, I can come up with a bunch of stuff that concerns me and a bunch of things that people perhaps are not thinking about right now that could be a huge detriment to winning it again, to winning the division, to having the summer that Cub fans all deserve. Because, I mean, it's great to win it once. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But for everything that Cub fans have been through, 108 years, 1969, 1984, 1989, 2003, 2007, 2008, those are all years that have a lot of positivity to them. I think we deserve at least a back-to-back. I mean, at least a back-to-back, right? Three-peat would be great, but I think we at least deserve another run in the sun here. So 312-981-7200.
I think my answer to that is injuries.
Okay.
Mean, if you look back at the...
Who are you concerned is going to get hurt?
Well, I want to take you back to the 1984 Cubs. They were the first Cubs team to make the playoffs in 39 years. They were great. They were a monstrosity. And there's no way they should have lost to the Padres, but it was a best of five. And after winning the first two at Wrigley, San Diego swept the weekend, and the Cubs were gone. They were favorites to win it all the next season.
Oh.
And 85, the entire starting pitching rotation got injured.
In May.
They were all injured, like, right, not even 8 weeks into the season, and every one of them was on the injury list. So I think, you know, you look at this team, everybody can hit, everybody can field, everybody can run. You know, you've got such a young team, you know, and they've, you know, they added Wade Davis to be their closer. I'm worried about injuries. I think that's the only thing that could take the Cubs down. And even when Schwarber got hurt last year and missed the entire season, they still dominated the division.
Right, but that was a position of strength. And Kyle Schwarber, I mean, let's be honest, he didn't really even have a position where you knew where he was going to play every day last year. You don't know where he's going to be playing every day this year because they do have a lot of flexibility in the outfield.
Right, but I mean,
I'm not expecting him to play 150 games in left field.
But he'll play the most there, and he'll DH when they go to the American League. He'll play the most. So let me ask you this. You know, don't you think that at this point, Javi Baez is your everyday second baseman?
I think that Javi Baez is your everyday second baseman unless you have issues where you need him elsewhere. Let's just say, arguably, I think there's an outside chance scenario that in center field, John Jay is extremely average,
mm-hmm,
to below, hitting like .230, and Albert Almora doesn't really grasp the strike zone, and you start to think, you know what, one way we could improve our outfield, perhaps, now this is outside the box right now, but perhaps it might be at some point in the year considered to put Javi, if things go sour in center, out in center field, because Ben Zobrist, I think he'd like to play himself some second base. I don't think he just wants to be an outfielder at this point in his career. So it might make sense along the way to have Javi and Zobrist in the lineup. You might see him outside a second if there are people struggling at other positions. Center field would be my first one that I would point out. I don't think that Chris Bryant's going to struggle at third base. I don't think that Addison Russell's going to struggle at shortstop. But if somebody is struggling, I think Javi could get moved.
I think Javi Baez is one of the best defensive infielders in baseball.
There's no doubt.
And Ben Zobrist is such a phenomenal team player that you're looking at Javi Baez at second, Zobrist in right, and Jason Hayward as your center fielder. And if his stroke doesn't come back, maybe they're sitting all that money in Jason Hayward and they're going to give Albert Almora a shot. But Javi Baez has to play second base every day. You've got Bryant, Russell, and Rizzo, third, short, and first. They're all phenomenal. And Javi Baez is the best defensively. How about Rizzo, like, jumping on the tarp last year? I mean, that's unheard of. It's incredible. I mean, if there were no game and I just tried to physically get up on the tarp, I couldn't do it, let alone catch a ball in a split second. Javi Baez, who's better at the swipe tag? Nobody. Nobody's better at the swipe tag.
Right, but one of his huge points of value is that he is versatile and he can play all over the diamond. So if you have somebody get hurt at third or at short or even in the outfield, he could end up doing that. I think ideally he plays a ton at second and then he'll give Addison Russell a day off at short and he'll give Chris Bryant a day off at third and he'll get him. Sometimes he'll come into the game as a defensive replacement and give Javi a day off. Take a couple of calls here. 312-981-7200. Cubs concerns. I know you've got them deep, somewhere deep in you. You're thinking, oh my God, this could be the downfall of the 2017 Chicago Cubs. Let's get Marty in here on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Marty.
It's typical of Cub fans that you forget that there are other teams in the league. And the thing that could bring the Cubs down is if the Mets pitching staff is healthy, nothing's going to stop them in a playoff series.
The Mets pitching staff, huh, Marty? Are you from New York, Marty?
I grew up there.
Yeah, you did.
I've been here for a long time, but yeah. Am I wrong? I mean, look, have you thought about the Mets pitching staff?
Yeah, well, the Mets pitching staff did shut the Cubs down. They shut them down 1, 2, 3, 4 when they met in the league championship in 2015. However, that's before Kyle Hendricks became the stutter-rama that he is. You're looking at Lester. You're looking at Jake Arrieta. You're looking at Kyle Hendricks, John Lackey. And, yeah, you guys have a pretty phenomenal starting rotation with the Mets, but this is a much better Cubs starting rotation. Lester and Hendricks were so much better last year than they were when they were playing the Mets.
Well, it was the hitting that was the problem for the Cubs. I'm not saying it's definitely going to bring the Cubs down. In fact, if I had to pick, I'd probably pick the Cubs. But if something brings them down, that's what I would predict would bring them down.
All right. Fair enough, Marty. By the way, I mean, Daniel Murphy is no longer a Met. That's what really brought the Cubbies down. He hung up on that one. I think he's still upset that the Mets let him go to the Nationals.
Nicely done.
Taxi driver Bob, go ahead, buddy. Welcome.
Oh, man. I got to follow up that. Hey, if anybody's thinking about calling into this show and they're from New York, forget about it.
we sniffed him out quick.
Man? All right. Well, anyways, I heard about the acquisitions. I read about Mills and Butler, and I think those are two great acquisitions. I don't really have any concerns. I think that they're constantly working on picking up who they can pick up and constantly trying to get things going for a dynasty with the Cubs. But two other discussions that I wanted to, because I got to get my sports conversation out with you guys once a weekend. One was the Soldier Field price tickets going up. You know, you pay for what you get, and you're not getting anything.
Off topic. I understand why that's aggravating to you, but
and then also Oakley. I don't know. Something set him off, but I tell you, I would not want to get him ticked off because he's a big man, and he could take out four or five people. I don't know what went on over there in New York, but somebody got him real aggravated. I don't remember him being a hothead. You know.
We're sponsoring Bring Back Oak Night to the United Center, Taxi Driver Bob. If we can get that done, will you support the Bulls on a Bring Back the Oak Tree?
I do. You know, he was not the best of Bulls, but he definitely was a big body in the middle, and nobody was going to run him over. Yep. That was for sure.
All right.
But anyways, you have a great weekend. I'm up here in Highland Park again. Taking some customers around up in Tynowitz territory.
What food place have you stopped in this afternoon, taxi driver Bob?
Where did I stop and where?
You usually, you know, stop for food. You know, driving a hack, you got to get a little hungry.
Oh, yeah. Not up here. I stopped over at a Chinese place. I live up in Mundelein, so I had some Chinese for a Saturday. Good place.
When you're in HP, taxi driver, you can do a Once Upon a Bagel. You can do a Michael's, get yourself a cheddar fry.
Michael's is great.
The one place that I want to go that I haven't gone to yet that Marianne and Bob was talking about was Josh's up in Deerfield to get that chicken gyros. I've been thinking a lot about that, and I got to stop over there and get some chicken gyros.
Never had it. Sounds amazing. You're living the dream, taxi driver.
Taxi driver Bob brings up Alec Mills. Alec Mills is my friend Randy texted me. He was so excited this week when the Cubs made this deal with the Royals. So he's a pitcher from Kansas City who was like a 22nd round draft pick in 2012 out of Tennessee Martin. And he's been in the minor leagues mostly. He's got major league experience, but he's been in the minor leagues. And they compare him to Kyle Hendricks. Fastball in the low 90s. And he's expected to be a middle reliever, but could be a fifth starter if Montgomery and Anderson don't make it. But there's a real commitment on Theo and Jed's part to just keep feeding that pitching staff, just keep strengthening that pitching staff and getting depth.
He's 24 years old. He's pitched a grand total of 3 1/3 innings in the big leagues. He's got an ERA of 13.5.
Right. I'm just saying that he's stepped onto major league field. He averages striking out one guy per inning in the minors, and that's with a fastball in the low 90s. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, listen, whenever the Cubs make a deal for an Alec Mills or an Eddie Butler, they always seem to make sense, and occasionally they strike gold. And if they don't, it's hey, there's no real loss going on. They're taking a flyer on guys that they have evaluated to be better than their numbers. I trust Theo and Jed and Jason McLeod and you, Harry, 100% when they make these moves. So maybe they'll catch lightning in a bottle with an Eddie Butler and Alec Mills.
When they made the Mike Montgomery deal from Seattle last year, you know, it didn't really register as like a major move. Who would have guessed that guy would be on the hill when the Cubs won the World Championship?
Yeah, that's true. He was out there. I love Mike Montgomery. Maybe he'll be in the rotation this year. Maybe he'll be in the bullpen. Flexibility, it's key. All right, quick timeout. Coming on back here, Harry.
Well, good. I'm glad we're coming back because there's another hour to do.
Yes, we have to. We can't
before we get to Goose.
We can't leave quite yet. We have to be here until 7. We'd love to be here until 7. There's we could take a little more Cub calls if we have a second here. 312-981-7200. But also a discussion about how much rest does a resting player need? There's a story behind it, Harry. Don't worry. 720 WGN. A bunch of concerns on the text line. I think they're all legit. Number one from the 708. Can Jason Hayward hit? I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea if Jason Hayward can hit. I know he's been working on it.
Used to, he could.
I didn't like that signing when they made it. I said it at the time. I don't like it now. I hope he has a great year. He earned his money, though, because he called for the meeting after the rain delay. Phil Forever, the guy deserves double his $180 million that he got just for that one call of the meeting.
If you haven't seen it on the weekend that Lego Batman comes out, go online and watch Lego's recap of Game 7 Cubs-Indians World Series. It's just wonderful.
Agreed. You should check it out. It's fantastic. Ben Zobrist was your cleanup hitter from the 708. He's playing 135 to 140 games, and a bunch of other people are texting in on Ben Zobrist, too. I think that's interesting because in the scenario of if you actually go with a true center fielder, Jay or Almora, and I hope it's Almora, and I hope he can hold it down and he can play 130 games out there. Well, where is Zobrist playing? Because is he playing left for Schwarber? Is he playing right for Hayward? Maybe Hayward's not playing at all. I don't know. I mean, if Baez is playing well, right, and Schwarber's hitting bombs and leading off, and Jason Hayward is doing what he did last year, Jason Hayward becomes a bench player.
I know he's got a cannon in right field, but Ben Zobrist has got to be your right fielder this year because Javi Baez needs to play second base every game. Obviously not every game, but Javi Baez is your starting second baseman this year, which means I'm moving Zobrist to right and Hayward's in center at the start of the year. Almora is ready, willing, and able should Hayward not hit.
Zobrist is also going to get some time in the leadoff hole. You can mark that down as well. Good patience. Another one from the 708. Who catches the mental liability? That's Jion Lester. It's an interesting one. David Ross was his guy, and we all know that Ross is retired now and in the front office, which, by the way, if I'm David Ross, I would have played again. You had a great year.
No, it was perfect. Come on. How many guys get to go out a world champion?
What about going out a back-to-back world champion?
Jerome Bettis got to. I mean, you still got Miggy there. This is Miggy's last year under contract. So Miguel Montero is your backup. But, I mean, what do you not like? What do you not love about Contreras?
I mean, I suppose that Miggy will be catching Lester.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. I mean, they'll have to become buddies. Have to get, but Miggy's a veteran. You would think that those two would be able to connect. But that's a legit question. Who catches Jion Lester? You would think that he would be able to figure it out. Jion Lester's a pro. Miggy's a pro. Huge year for Contreras. See if he can make the next step. All right. Are we good? Is the back-to-back in the books?
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can mark it down.
Are you going opening day?
I might. Are you inviting me?
No, I don't have tickets to opening day. What are you nuts?
I do.
Oh, Harry!
Oh!
Should sell those. Sold. Gone. It's Monday. It's a night game. Be cold. Sold to the richest person who wants to buy them. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN. 608. Welcome to your Saturday night. Saturday night special. Less than an hour away. Amy Guth will be in this very seat. Can you do that one more time?
Guth.
You're very good at that. It's one of your many, many skills, Harry Tynowitz. Yeah. I'm Mark Harmon, Dan Long producing. 312-981-7200. Valentine's Day is Tuesday. I don't have a date. Just leaving it out there like that.
Shocking.
I don't have a date. Maybe I could call someone. Then again, maybe not. All right. Not to make a pity party here. So Harry has a topic, though, or I guess a scenario is a better a choice that many men/women, we're all in this together, might be facing. So Harry, I'm going to sit back and take it away here as I listen to what you're proposing.
Right, well, you know, technically the beat would be like a sports show, but it's also a show about, you know, the pulse of the city.
Yes.
What's happening in Chicago? You know, we are both lifelong Chicagoans. So here is my question, and I put it on, I tweeted this out 4 hours ago at Hey Tweet Harry. He's, of course, at the Carm.
Please
follow him.
Please.
He goes home and he rocks back and forth in the fetal position if people don't follow him on a daily basis.
Do you know what I did today, by the way? I just want to give myself credit for just 1 second.
Yes.
You ever get like the comforter? See, if I did have a date on Valentine's Day, just think about this. The comforter, sometimes it bunches up, right?
Yes.
So I opened it up, right? I got in there in the duvet. I the full body was all the way in there. I unraveled it. I did the whole thing, and it's perfectly laid out now, Harry. I had so much dust from inside this duvet all over me. I had to get the roller, the lint roller. Who wouldn't want to date a guy that would dive into a duvet to spread it out neatly and then takes care of himself, doesn't want to show up at the beat with lint all over himself, and actually went out of his way to get the lint roller to be with you? Harry, back to you.
I'm glad you're getting into something. So at Hey Tweet Harry, here's the question. We're doing a little web poll here. Here's the question. Which is the better Valentine's Day movie?
Okay.
50 Shades Darker or Lego Batman? Mark, you're single. You date often. I know that you have met a couple girls who you thought it might click with, and in the end, it doesn't click.
Mm-hmm.
But you are exactly the person to come to with this question. Not a guy that's been married for,
how long?
16 years.
Okay.
This anniversary will be in November. Should we get there? It'll be the 18th wedding anniversary. How about that?
That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah,
well, I know you give like silver on 25 and gold on 50. What do you give for your last anniversary?
Yeah,
So anyhow, here's the question I put to you, Mark, as a guy that's dating. Which is the better date movie? Is it the sexy, hot, oh my God, I can't believe what they do, 50 Shades Darker? Or is it the just laugh out loud, feel like a kid again, Lego Batman movie?
312-981-7200. I think that both men and women should chime in here, but we really could use a female perspective. The more sultry, is it tender like The Notebook, or is it more, what are we talking, 9.5 weeks? No, what is it closer
like,
to?
We're talking like it's kind of like dirty hot.
Dirty hot.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, there's
dirty hot.
Let me tell you this. In both movies, there are masks involved.
I see. So
my hashtag on the tweet is bat ropes.
So a very aggressive, dirty, hot, sexual movie versus, what's the other one?
Lego Batman.
Lego.
Feel like a kid again.
Feel like a kid again. Just joyful, youthful enthusiasm.
Laugh out
loud.
Those
are your Valentine's Day movies?
Thank you, Jennings. I agree. I'm with Jennings for the once in my life.
Let's go vintage. All right, Harry?
Yeah.
How about the original Arthur?
What?
Well, Arthur is great. No, Dudley Moore, Liza Minnelli, John Gielgud.
It's a good feel-good, kind of funny, great, happy, love wins outcome movie.
No one's watched Arthur in the last 20 years.
Hold on. Arthur happens to be a great movie, but I'm just going off of the two movies that are coming out this weekend. So which do you think would be the better Valentine's date movie?
Neither one.
What do you mean neither one?
Not for a Valentine's Day movie?
They both came out on Valentine's Day weekend for a reason.
Yeah, but I don't see them as movies about love and romance on Valentine's Day to take your date to.
Mark?
312-981-7200, phone line, text line, 847 texting, and 32-year-old single woman here, Lego for sure. Wow. It's a very strong move there. 224 texting, and Mark, duvet diving, new segment on the new segment. Great image. This is your year to catch that girl. Thank you, Bonnie.
Here's the thing, okay? I've had a bunch of married friends tell me that since their wife read 50 Shades of Grey, since they saw 50 Shades of Grey, there has been a huge uptick in the festivities going on in the boudoir. All right. So there's a lot of people that might think this would be a great date movie. I'm going to go to 50 Shades Darker because there's all these hot scenes, all these intimate moments. You can't believe how they let go of their inhibitions, and they do things that, you know, people only dream about doing. But I think that could also backfire on you. I think that could get your date kind of like, you know, very, very overprotective. I think the Lego Batman movie, you know, you're laughing out loud. Your date relaxes.
Depends on how long you've been. Excuse me.
Anything involving a safe word is complicated.
Do you have a safe word, Dave?
708 texting.
No comment.
708 texting. It depends on how long you've been seeing the woman. New relationship, Lego, Batman, definitely. 50 Shades is going to be way too, just way too. But I can't wait to see both from the 708. See, here's the thing, if I may.
Yes.
I just think the movie date in general is a bad idea. Like, you can't speak in a movie. So what's the point? You're sitting in the, it's nice to, I suppose, you go to dinner and then you can just take a little time off the we have to talk, so we're just going to go to a movie and not say anything to each other and act like we're both enjoying ourselves. But either you had a good dinner and you like each other and you're moving things along and then you should go home and live that life, or you've been dating for a long time or you're married and so you both just want to go see a movie. But the whole, I'm going to take a movie date, I mean, I don't get it.
Well, hold on. Isn't your date dinner and a movie? Don't you do both?
No.
Your scenario, you're picking her up, going right to the theater and dropping her off as soon as it's over. That's not, you go to the movie and then you go to dinner, or you go to have drinks, and then you've got something to talk about. You both just experienced this movie. America loves seeing movies, Mark.
Okay. I agree. people do love going to see a movie. But when you're in the first stages of dating, date one through, say, eight.
When have you ever had a date eight?
Fair point.
I'm just saying.
Date one through date three. Jennings, turn your mic off.
Oh, Harry, you are so cold.
So why would you want to waste that opportunity to connect and get to know somebody sitting in a movie theater?
Look, your first date should be dinner or drinks, okay?
Coffee.
Your first date should be coffee.
42 minutes.
Coffee. What are you afraid of? 42 minutes.
Everything.
Come on. Your first date should be, I think the ideal first date is just going to dinner.
First date, you need to see them, talk to them, get an idea, and then brace yourself for a real date.
Ladies, we need your perspective here. Give us a call, please.
312-981-7200. I don't like the movie date at all.
But okay, look, your first date should be dinner.
It's just a weak move. Like you're not willing to talk.
Why does everything have to be a move with you?
It's not
a move. It's not
course
like
it's a move. It's a decision. Weak decision. Weak decision.
It's
weak,
not like
weak choice.
It's not like Frank Costanza. You know, I invented that move. That's my move. Mark, Carm.
773 texting. And Carm, moving from dinner to the bedroom. Love your style, bud. Thank you, 773. I'm just saying, I mean, why throw the movie in the middle? If you're going to have the movie, you have the movie at your place. And then you watch 2 minutes of the movie, if that.
Well, I'm sure they get 2 minutes somewhere else with you. Mark, you go to the movie first, okay?
Let's not overstate things.
People told me if I wanted to last longer, I should just think about baseball. I love baseball. Sometimes when I'm at a game, I have to think about having sex just to keep
getting uncomfortable.
Okay, so look, here's my point. You go to the movie first. Okay, it's not in the middle. You go to the movie first, and then you guys go to dinner.
What?
And among the things you talk about is the movie.
So, okay, in your scenario, I pick
yes.
up the date.
Yes.
We're going to a movie.
Yes.
The ride's 15 minutes. We get to the movie theater. Park. Pay for tickets, get to the seat, another 7 minutes of conversation.
I'm just surprised pay didn't come up in the first 20 seconds.
Good point. She pays 7 minutes.
She pays?
Okay. I pay.
Okay,
for...
no wonder we have certain issues with you.
Everybody settle down.
What's your safe word, Jennings?
I still have no comment.
So, okay, 22 minutes, and now you're done talking for like 2 hours, and you just sit there like, ha, ha, ha,
but,
I think that's funny,
but
too.
Are
you
doing
a little, I mean, what?
You're bonding.
You're bonding?
Yes, you're bonding. You're seeing the, come on, Lego Batman is going to be a laugh-out-loud movie with a bunch of really clever jokes and a ton of celebrity voices, and it's just going to be just so much fun. If you go the 50 Shades route, I think that's a little intense for early stages of dating. But in general, I think the best date you can have would be, you know, to have dinner together. So why not put a movie in front of it? Or live theater. I love live theater. Go see a play.
Even worse. That's a terrible idea. Way too much money. Not worth it. Low return.
You realize that Chicago is on the same level with Broadway in terms of live theater.
There's so many
people move here from all over the country.
Exactly. So now you're spending like $75-$80 on a ticket. Early dating, bad idea.
It doesn't always have to be. It could be much less for
how
a
much?
Ticket.
It's always expensive. Whenever I make that move, Bulls game, Seinfeld, whatever.
Bulls tickets are so much more expensive than theater
I know,
tickets.
And then I always end up thinking, you know, that's like deep down the way. Just spend the time getting to know each other.
You can go to a movie, then go to Dave and Buster's.
Just go to Dave and Buster's. You don't need the movie.
Hey,
it's
50 Shades is playing games.
It's not 1972.
Yes, it is.
Hey, real quick before we get a break. Jerry, I like people that agree with me. It says you agree with me, so.
Hey, I know your job is to disagree with Carm, but I agree with Carm. If you're on a first date with a woman, you want to get to know her. You want to talk to her. You want to communicate.
Thank you.
In a movie, you sit silently for 2 hours in the dark. Nothing's going on. You're not communicating with her. So I don't like movies because I want to talk to somebody. I want to get to know them.
Jerry, I agree. I think the best first date is to have dinner together. What I'm saying is that an ideal date would be to go to a movie first, and then you have your dinner. Now, the first date, just go for drinks, go to dinner, that's great. But you know, with these two big movies coming out this weekend, and Batman has already made $54 million. 50 Shades has already made $48 million. Okay? Just already.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Yeah, married couples for 15 years should go out and see one of those two movies. You don't want to talk to each other for a little bit, take a little bit of a breather, go see a movie.
Second date, you go see the movie and then go to dinner.
No, you're clearly afraid if you're going movie on a second date to actually have a conversation.
But you're going to be together afterwards. The conversation will take place.
Why delay?
It's not a delay. It's enhancing. What you see as being cut off, I see as elongating.
See, you're using... I'll tell you what I think, coming back right back here before Dan Long kills me. But I'll tell you how you're avoiding here, Harry. You're avoiding. That's next, 720 WGN. Teaching Harry how to date, apparently, here on 720 WGN. Harry claiming the movie's just this great date, and what are you going to do on Valentine's Day? Go to see 50 Shades of what?
50 Shades Darker.
And then what was the other one?
Lego Batman.
Lego
Batman. What country do you live in?
The United States of America.
All right, so look, again, this is a fun question. A web poll question, if you will. Just both these movies came out on Valentine's Day weekend. So which movie is a better date movie? Is it the steamy 50 Shades Darker or is it the feel like a kid again Lego Batman?
Right. There's two questions apparently on the table because that's what I've done here. And I apologize, Harry, to slightly blowing up the topic. Do you like the romance movie for your Valentine's Day?
It's not, again, it's a little more than romance.
Okay. Do you like the sultry, sexy, really, really... Dirty hot film, or do you like more of a kid fun movie for your Valentine's Day date?
Yeah.
And the other part that I threw out there is, if you're early in dating, why would you ever go to a movie? Because you just sit there like a bozo for 2 hours and you say nothing. I mean, what's the point?
Because you're going to go to dinner afterwards. All that you're saying,
just go to dinner.
Because it's fun to see movies. And it will be, I saw that with Mark. Did I tell you about this weekend?
Do an act.
Mark took me to this great restaurant, and we went to the movies.
Do a fun activity, then. Something more fun than a movie. Give me an activity. Go to an arcade. Go take a tour. Go to a cooking class. There's a million things you can do.
You would go to a Bulls game or a Northwestern basketball game.
I would say, do you want a tennis lesson? Great. Let's go.
Is that like a euphemism for something?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I just want to see if they like to play tennis. It matters to me. It's weird. Uncle Rico is calling in. Hey, Uncle Rico, what's going on?
Hey, nothing much. How you doing?
Good, man.
So, look, I'm thinking that, you know, if you take a date on the first date to go see a movie, don't take her to see the Lego movie because there's going to be too many kids there, for one. And you're going to have all these kids, and that's gonna really turn the whole date off.
But what about Saturday night at 7:30? It's not going to be like kids.
No, it's going to be a lot of kids there. Take her to see John Wick. You forgot that was out, too.
No, I didn't forget. You know? Hey, it's Keanu Reeves.
it's a great movie.
Really?
You know, and then 50 Shades, the first one, it was not good. So, you know, it's kind of, if you want to see some hot and sexual, just take your date to your house and go on the internet.
Thanks.
I don't think that's the same offer coming
just
through.
Just straight to the point, you know? Like, you know, we already know what 50 Shades is going to give you.
Rico, you're on top of your game. Appreciate you.
All right, appreciate it.
Thank you. Rico, checking in, you can too.
Not going to be kids. At like a 7:30 Lego Batman movie.
Why not? It's 7:30. Wouldn't take
it. Because parents don't keep their kids out till 10. Boy, you really are single.
You sure about that?
Kids. I'm not talking about like, you know.
I remember being 10 years old, being going to the Highland Park movie theater to see Flashdance, and it was probably 7:30. And that was the first R movie I've ever seen. And Papa Fred walked up to the guy with the boa.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember that guy, but he existed. There was a $1.50 movie theater. What's in this movie that a 10-year-old shouldn't see? Well, sir, there's profanity and nudity. Great. We'll take 3 tickets.
Oh, my goodness. Afterwards, did you keep saying nobody puts baby in the corner?
Flashdance was a great entry into R-rated films. Love Jennifer Beals. One more real quick here, because this guy says he's friends with you and has a story about date night. I don't want him to hang up. So right now, Mike, talk to me. Were you on a date with Harry?
Harry, it's Spike Braden. How are you?
Spike! Hey! I'm great, Kingpin. How are you?
Good, man. Great to hear you on the radio.
Yeah, shocking, and, isn't it?
I won't say anything about that. But I dated this girl, Diane, for a short time, and beautiful girl. Just absolutely stunning girl. We went to see Godfather 3, and that was a mistake because the movie was bad.
Terrible.
Yeah. Afterwards, we went back to her place, and we talked about the movie because I thought that was kind of the point. We saw the movie, and let's, you know, talk about what we thought about the movie.
Boring.
It was as if she hadn't seen the movie.
Because she was thinking about you, Spike.
Sure. I kept referring to things in the movie, and she looked at me and said, oh, really?
What? Did she sleep? Did she fall asleep in the movie theater?
I don't think so, but you know what? In the greater scheme of things, I think she slept most of the time.
Spike, you got to bottom line this for me because we're late for news. What's your point here?
That a movie can be a really bad thing to do.
Thank you, Spike. Appreciate
Spike,
you.
Spike, always wonderful to hear from you.
Thank you
good
for calling
dude.
It, Spike. And you
good. Went to high school with him.
Did you learn something from that?
There's no right or wrong here. It's opinion. And my opinion is, and, you know, for the physical condition I'm in, the amount of quality women that I have gotten to have intimate conversations with is phenomenal. And movie and dinner is a great date. And also live theater in Chicago, outlying areas. You know, go to North Light right now in Skokie, see Fearless. It's great theater. It's awesome. I still want to know what Dave Jennings' safe word is.
We'll find that out next, 720 WGN. Valentine's Day, Tuesday. I'm Mark Harmon. Dateless. Harry Tynowitz. Married, accomplished. Kids. Professional. But his dating advice is horrendous. Take her to a movie.
It's not what I said.
What did you say?
I said dinner is the best first date.
Okay.
And I said that the best date would be to see a movie and then go to dinner or to see a play and then go to dinner.
847 texting in, movie is a terrible date. 630 texting in, you go to a movie and sit side by side in uncomfortable silence for 2 hours. Not good.
Why is it uncomfortable silence? I don't get that.
It's uncomfortable. You don't know each other. It's awkward. You got to get into the conversation. Like, you have to look in their eyes, Harry. Just like I'm looking into your eyes right now.
You're sitting side by... I think.
Do you hold hands? Do you not hold hands?
First date, I'm not holding hands.
Second date.
Depends on the first date went.
First date went fine. You didn't, no smooch, but you had a good first date. You going to hold her hand in the...
Yeah.
It's an awkward decision, awkward moment.
Yes, and can I just say one thing for people that are dating, maybe going out with someone for the first time? Can I actually give? Because again, I've lost a lot of weight recently, but out of shape, but always had a wonderful, fun dating life. When you go to a restaurant, just the two of you, and you're seated at a table for four, sit next to her. Sit side by side. Instead of sitting across from each other,
are you nuts?
Sit side. It is much more intimate.
At a table of four, you're
right.
On what date?
On
date
on
two?
Any, on any date. Your
right
first
next
date,
to her.
Your first date. Sit right next to
are
her.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
Okay, now that.
You know how much easier it is to touch a thigh when you're next to each other?
Why do you have to race along to touching a thigh?
It's intimacy. It's just being able. It's a closer connection.
She's going to freak out if you make that move. She's going to think you're a weirdo.
No, she's not. It's just, it's simply, I want to get to know you. I'm going to sit right next to you.
Let me bring Karen in here. I need a female perspective. Karen, welcome to 720 WGN 312-981-7200. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Mark. You're not going to get any help from me.
Yes.
I think Harry is right on. There is nothing better early on than to sit next to someone in a dark movie theater. Maybe your hands, you know, touch each other accidentally, or your shoulders, you know, happen to bump into each other, or you happen to lean into each other. Maybe he takes your hand or not. There's always this anticipation. And then afterwards, when you go to dinner, there's a ready topic to talk about, which is the movie. So that can kind of lead into, you know, getting to know somebody better. And then you also know somebody by the movie they choose. If you like a guy with a sense of humor, Lego Batman's great.
Oh, Karen, you see things so clearly.
Karen, let me ask you something.
Hey, you know?
Let me ask you something, sure. Karen.
Yep.
Are you comfortable talking about yourself?
Pretty much so.
Okay. So why do you need the movie to sort of open up an avenue for conversation? Why can't you just have a conversation? Why do you need, like, hey, was it that funny in Lego Batman, so now let's talk about what's funny in your life? I don't think it just doesn't make, I don't get it. What am I missing here?
I think you're missing the point. Well, Karen, go ahead.
I think that's true. Early on, you don't get deep into deep stuff. It's that just getting to know you kind of, but in a casual way, and you don't want to dive right into, you know, my parents were horrible people, and that's why I'm or something. You know, you need something to just kind of break the ice first.
Why can't we just dive into the deeps, Karen? Let's just go right there.
Mark, you're going to walk into a restaurant. Your scenario. You've picked up your date, or you've had her, you know, take the L to meet you, and now you're walking into the restaurant, and you know, could be a little uncomfortable. And what Karen and I are talking about is simply you've already had a fun movie experience. You've already shared something. Now you're going to walk into the restaurant, and if you have a drink at the bar or if you get seated right away, you can talk about, oh, God, that was funny. What was your favorite part? You know what was really cool? You know what movie that reminded me of? Oh, I have a friend who does this. Oh, my mom is just like that. It's got so many levels. And you're still going to talk about, tell me about yourself. Tell me what you do. Do you love dogs? Who's your favorite baseball team? You know, you're still going to get to all this other conversation, but it's just like a starting point, and it brings you closer.
Karen.
And you are going to sit next to the guy. You are going to sit next to the guy if there's a four-top. Definitely.
Karen, you're awesome.
Are you serious? The sit next to move?
I am so serious. It's so romantic.
On a first date?
Maybe a second date. First date, no, you want to look at each other. But the second date, or, you know, if there's going to be several dates, you know that's going to happen. Then, yes, next to each other.
And Mark, you'll stand out. You'll stand out.
Yeah, who wants to stand out? If your idea is to, like, sit next to them, then just cook them dinner, have them come over. You might as well, if you're going to that level.
No, Mark, don't you want her to tell her friends, it was so cool. We sat down. Instead of sitting all the way across from me, he sat right next to me.
Maybe I need to, okay, all right. Karen, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Karen, wait. Thank you. We got some Lumels for her?
You want Lumels for Karen? Okay, great. Karen, you get Lumel Natties.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome, Karen. Thanks for calling. 312-981-7200.
Just for having great perspective.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Lumels in the area,
listen,
by the
way. You want to give Karen Lumels because she agrees with you and she has great perspective. I'm down. Karen shared. Karen deserves a pizza. I think I'm amazed, too, because there's a lot of people texting in right now saying sit next to them. No one does that. The people that are sitting next to each other are generally on their honeymoon.
No, you're wrong.
When's the last?
You get a much better chance of getting to a honeymoon if you'll sit next to your date.
No, okay. And by the way, you can make the argument to be a good one too that you don't have to do what everybody else is doing. That's fine. But no one does what you're talking about.
My first day with my wife, we sat down next to each other, side by side.
630 texting, Carm, you're right. Harry is a creep. 815 texting, you definitely sit across from your date. Are you really gonna? And then he gets into play things that I can't say on the radio. 630 texting, discuss Schwarber batting leadoff. I don't particularly like it. There's that. Okay, I can't believe this. Like, for real?
Will you try it?
Try what?
Next time you go on a date. The next time you go on a date, if you get seated at a table for four, will you try just sitting next to your date instead of sitting across from her? What do you think?
I'm scared to do it. I'm going to be honest. I don't want to make promises that I'm not going to keep. You want me to do what? I'm going to sit down. We're going to go on a second date. I'm just going to sit next to her. I'll do it. Fine. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Carm. Done.
I'll do it. You win. I'm in. This is a competition.
She'll love it.
Let's get some more advice here. 312-981-7200. I need women calling. Jody, welcome
to... You said that before we even started the show.
Jody, welcome to WGN.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Jody. How are you? What's your thoughts on this Valentine's Day extravaganza that Harry is pontificating on?
That is the creepiest thing, sitting next to someone
Thank
at a
fourth
table.
I mean, my God.
Oh, my gosh. If someone did that to me, I would get up and leave. Yeah,
Can I sit down next to you? Absolutely not. Go sit over there, you weirdo.
Yeah, and it makes me so uncomfortable to see people doing that.
Yes.
Like, when I'm dining somewhere and people, they're going to start doing, I don't know, it's weird. I don't like it.
Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever done that?
No, I wouldn't let it happen.
Thank you, Jody.
Well, why don't you,
you're welcome.
Why don't you try it once, Jody?
Because it's uncomfortable. That's just so weird. Normal people, I want to see, how do you talk to people face to face then? Then I got to sit like one quarter turn to talk to you.
Yeah, but I think it's a more intimate conversation. Life is all about. I had this act. Okay, I went to New Trier and they told me, it's the best theater teacher ever. And the guy was a bad theater teacher, but he did say intimate conversations are the best part of life. And I think that's
you can
really
have an
cool
intimate
thing.
Conversation across from the table.
Yeah, it's not about proximity. I mean, we could have an intimate conversation now. I'm not sitting next to you.
In my mind, you are.
Okay.
Jody, thank you for agreeing with
thank
me
you,
and being rational. Appreciate.
You're welcome.
Want to give her pizza?
What did you just say? Harry, I got to rein you in. Nonstop reining in Harry. It's a lot of, my Lord. 6'3", I'm a single woman. I would think you are crazy if you sit next to me at a four top. Do not listen to Harry. Two guys sit across. Two girls sit across. A couple does not. Yeah, you're not a couple yet. On date two.
When you're on a date, believe me, it'll take it to another level.
Linda, turned out. Yeah. Thank you, Linda. What's up, Linda?
Yeah, I would definitely sit across, too.
I mean, it's
especially if you don't know the guy, like you said, I mean, you want to see their facial expressions and all that. No one's going to touch your thigh on the first date anyway.
No, that was sort of half-joking.
Yeah, I know you are.
Right, but...
Yeah.
You just got to try it.
Yeah, maybe we'll try it. I won't go on a date anymore because I'm happily married, but...
Congratulations,
Linda. We didn't do it when we first started dating, so... And it's nice to see their face, right?
Yes, I mean, that's right.
When you're talking and...
Please turn your radio down.
I do see people sit next to each other. I guess it's kind of cool, but I don't know.
I'm going to put you on hold, Linda.
Well, let's go the other way. Turn your radio up.
She was talking. She didn't hear you. It's okay. Don't do it, Carm. That's weird. 773, you could gaze into each other's eyes, and it's so romantic. That's from the 773. 847, anybody taking dating advice from Mark is a loser.
That's not nice.
That's not
There's
nice.
No need for name calling.
There isn't.
Why does your dad even text the show?
Wow. Well, let's see here. One more.
Oh, Vicky.
Yeah, I know you want that one.
Vicky,
go ahead. Lay it out
all
there.
Right.
Yep.
First of all, you have intimacy issues, dude. Big time, okay?
How do you get to that, Vicky? Not necessarily disagreeing.
Okay. But what I do is I invite the guy to sit next to me. Then it kind of takes the pressure off.
Oh.
And then that way, see, and then I'm the one that texted in about discussing Schwarber batting leadoff. But, Carm, if I was on a date with you, I would discuss tennis. So,
see, and we would get along, Vicky.
Okay.
we'd get tennis, we'd go Schwarber, and then you'd say you want to come sit next to me. I'd say yes, then I'd hold your hand, and it would be wonderful.
Yes, there you go.
So, Vicky, on a date, you're prepared to discuss whatever the person you're out with wants to talk about. You're just unselfishly, there to be there for someone despite whatever issues that they might have.
I don't quite get that, but I'm very open. The last first date I had was terrible because he went straight into politics.
That's
a big no-no. I mean, I can't even have politics discussions with people I've known for 25 years right now, you know, so I'm certainly not going to do that on a first date.
Right.
But generally speaking, sports. I see I'm a big, big sports chick. So, you know, I like guys who follow our sports teams, things like that. Because fundamentally, if
he's not a sports guy, we're not going to have anything in common. I mean, we're not going to have that much in common. You know, I got to, like, have a guy who's going to go to a Cubs game with me.
Vicky, are you single?
I am single, yeah.
Vicky is a phenomenal catch.
Vicky is what you're
looking for out there, team.
And I think I phrased it poorly, obviously, but so you would not be talking tennis because you just want
to
be
she
like...
She wants to relate. She's in the game.
Then. No, but she's a sports fan. She's a tennis fan.
Yeah, I did. I'm not a big fan of tennis, although I was able to go to the U.S. Open for one day a couple of years ago. So
did you have fun?
I played tennis as a kid. So, I mean, I could carry a conversation about it. I know who played in the final, the Australian Open. You know, it's not really my sport, but I know enough about sports. I read the sports page. It's the first thing I read every day.
Vicky, tell Harry who played in the finals of the Australian Open.
It was the Venus, the Williams sisters, Serena won, and Nadal, and, what's his name?
You got it.
Federer.
Yep. Oh, Vicky.
Nicely done.
Vicky, I'm going to start the website, datevicky.com, and you are the prize, Vicky. You should absolutely be just taking all sorts of applications and make them live up to your standards. Don't bend over for these men. You stay true because you've got integrity. Harry, don't.
Okay.
Thank you. That was the wrong word choice, but can I get some maturity around here?
Not likely.
Thank you, Vicky. Appreciate you.
All right. Yeah, have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks,
bye.
Vicky. My God. All right. Fine. I don't think we solved anything, but I feel better. I think I got overwhelming support on your sit next to each other thing.
Before we get a break in, can I get a plug in for the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, Lou Malnati's.
So good.
Over 40 Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnati's.com.
There you go.
That's great. I know there's one in Evanston that's quite popular.
And here's a text. If you want to sit side by side, you sit at the bar. If you want to go to the bar, that makes sense because you can have stools.
Well, you cannot sit across from each other at the bar.
Right.
Unless you're having dinner with the bartender.
Right. I'm pro sit at the bar. That's a great move.
I love dinner at the bar.
Dinner at the bar on a date is a great look because you do get the intimacy there.
Get to watch a game.
Yeah, and you can watch the game when things go sour. It's perfect. 720 WGN. Amy Guth is in studio. Big show tonight, Amy. Talking about the travel ban. You had a very busy weekend last weekend. You were at O'Hare, and then you were in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. Right? Is that right?
No, the travel ban is 15 days old.
15 days, right. But weren't you at O'Hare last weekend for something? No, am I wrong about that?
No, I was at O'Hare the day after the executive order was signed.
Okay, okay.
And I put a bunch of audio up on my SoundCloud account. I was just asking people, why are you here? What's important about being here tonight for you? And got some really, really moving answers. And I kind of made a highlight reel of that. I had a lot of audio, so I couldn't use it all. But I had some really, really interesting conversations with a lot of different kinds of people. It was really good.
Anything that you want to name right now? I'm kind of fascinated right as to like what was a highlight? What was said that maybe you didn't expect to hear?
I don't know that it was anything that I didn't expect to hear, but you know, there was one woman in particular who just was like a heart in human form, and she was holding a sign, and it was a picture of her and her mother, and she said, and the sign said something like, "My 75-year-old mother's not a terrorist." And she was, you know, she said, "My mom's never even been mean to anyone in her whole life, much less, you know, been a terrorist." But there was a lot of different people there. You know, there was a teen boy who really got kind of choked up as I was staying there talking with him. And there was a man holding an American flag that's a teacher. There was a physician who got off work at the hospital and came right there. And he's Syrian American. And, you know, there was a lot of interesting people that I had a lot of interesting conversations with. And this is a big story. So I've been following it closely. But what I'm really going to focus on tonight is anytime we have a big story and emotions are involved, and there's a lot of moving parts, and they're moving quickly, the potential for misinformation gets really, you know, goes through the roof really quickly. So I'm going to be talking with a political science professor, with an immigration attorney, and with a reporter who has been out covering a lot of the things happening at airports here in Chicago. Just so that we can sort fact from, you know, fiction and narrative, and, you know, because there's a lot of stories floating around on social media.
I think that's very important to talk about. And Trump doesn't understand what's fake and what isn't.
If he doesn't like it, he can just say it's fake.
Right, fake news.
Well, there's that, and I think that's part of what I want to talk about too. And I'm going to open the show by saying, like, you know, I don't care who you voted for, because you don't care who I voted for either. So let's not go there. It's not about politics tonight. It's just about the facts of what's happening. So we're going to look at a timeline of the executive order, the legal actions attached to it, and what's next, what we can expect. You know, I think there's so many interesting moving pieces to this. And again, anytime we have a story that's very big and unfolding quickly and emotions are high, lots of conjecture and misinformation can happen, sometimes on purpose, sometimes not.
Amy's coming up at 7. Harry, great to be with you.
It was fun. Fun show. Thanks to everybody that listened and called in.
Fun show. You got any thoughts on this dating thing?
You guys were cracking me up during that.
I mean, do you want to go on a movie date? Not with me, of course, but with somebody. Would you want to ever do that?
But you're going to go to dinner afterwards. Why wouldn't you?
It's a waste of time, right, Amy?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think that it's the ideal first date, because you do want to talk and get to know each other. But if it's a movie that you want to, you know, it's going to be a talker and you're going to want to analyze it later, like a documentary or something like that, that's cool. But then you go to dinner or whatever after.
Not a first date. In general.
Oh, like, no.
Would you go on a date?
For sure.
Yeah, dinner and a movie.
I don't know that that's like a, you guys were talking specifically a Valentine's date, though. I don't know that.
It started with Valentine's Day.
It started with which movie is better for Valentine's
Day. Amy on my side.
No, I wouldn't go that far. we were talking about that today on the business lunch, and it is an last year $18.9 billion spend in the U.S. Valentine's Day. That's a lot. I mean, it's the capitalism part that gets my ear on that one, that I'm like, guys, if you need a special day for it, you're perhaps doing it wrong. I'm not anti-Valentine's
Day.
I'm just saying, like, you know, there's like weird manufactured expectations attached to it that I think are just goofy. People just enjoy each other. Good grief.
Well said. Amy's next. We'll see you tomorrow, 720 WGN.